Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight, and we're here tonight to minister to you personally, so get ready for that. Hopefully you are ready for that tonight. Yeah, I think I'm ready. We're in a little bit late. I didn't even know what time it was. I'm glad I checked. It was late. All right. So we're here tonight to minister to you and pray for you. Let's believe God for some kind of prophetic word to help you out along the way, which is our goal. And thank you for being here with us tonight. So we are going to be ministering that to you. And okay, so I have entered. Okay, yes, give me a second here. I am in, right? Okay, that's fine. Give me just a second here. I am okay. All right, we're going to be praying for you tonight. I think I'm trying to get on. Hang on just a second here. Give me a minute. Okay. There we go. Okay, I think I got it now. All right, sorry about that, y'all. We are here tonight, and I'm going to be praying for you just in a little bit, so get ready for that. We are here to pray for you and to believe God with you for whatever you need. All right? And that's going to happen here in just a moment. I'm trying to get on something here. Hang on a second. Thank you. Tonight we're going to share some really wonderful things. I have some great information with you I want to share for you tonight that I want to share with you about things I started on last week that I think are really important for you to hear, for you to learn from. And so thank you for being patient. I'm a little bit late tonight. All right, we're going to be talking about, you know, becoming Jews in a real scriptural sense, in the biblical sense. And so, you know, we never discount, the church never takes Israel's place. That can never happen. But at the same time, we're going to find out where we find us. Most of us are Gentiles. Many of us are Gentiles. And where we, so when you start looking in the New Testament and you start looking at, you know, what a revelation, which is going to be very important in the coming months and years, understanding where and how to find yourself are the Gentile people, what we call Jew and Gentile, though in Christ Jesus, you know, Paul the Apostle even said, in Christ there's not Jew or Greek or Gentiles, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. And so I want to present this in a way that I've never seen it before, until just a few days ago, and so it's kind of fresh with me, and I want to share this with you tonight so you can get a hold of where I'm going to be going in the coming months and sharing with you this important information so that we can truly interpret the book of Revelation, which is going to become very important in the next few months and years. And so, so I'm kind of laying a little bit of groundwork for this. And I want to talk about this tonight. Let me go here. Hang on a second. So that you can start to understand where I believe God, as a prophet, I believe that we're going here. And this is what we're going to be getting into. And it's going to be extremely important for helping the church get in their position and get in their place with God instead of going all these different directions. And so I'm going to open up with what Paul the Apostle called the mystery revealed, because it was a mystery that Paul talked about. And that mystery, as I'm going to share with you and prove to you the best I can, is the fact that the Jews and the Gentiles, there was no longer separation. There's some wonderful men of God you hear about that are Jews, institution been broken down, and Jews and Gentiles are one. But I think that there's not a lot of explanation biblically on what all that means and where all that goes. And so I want to begin to outline that for you the best I can prophetically as a prophet. Paul the Apostle says, this is in Ephesians 3. All right, Ephesians 3. Let me make sure that's correct. Yeah, Ephesians 3, verse 1. It says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. They have to realize Paul is a Jew all the way. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a true Jew, a true committed person to God. He wasn't like a hypocrite and a liar and a thief, you know, acting like a man of God. He really was a man of God as far as under the law. Now, he wasn't born again, and he ended up turning out to be a killer of Christians because he was so dedicated, because he was so sold out. And then the very person that killed Jewish believers and, you know, mainly Jewish believers for believing in the Messiah, he was killing them, right? He was on their road to Damascus when Stephen was stoned. Remember Stephen was stoned? That was Paul. That was Saul, actually, and who became Paul. And so Paul actually became, after all that, after killing Christians, killing Jewish Christians who accepted Christ, having them killed, he becomes the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, this is really important. With what I'm going to explain to you, you're going to see this hopefully in a new way. And this is what he says here. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. For who? For the Gentiles. For the Gentiles. How that by revelation, and we talk about revelation a lot, by revelation, God made known to me
the mystery. This is truly amazing, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which is toward the Gentiles, and how God had originally designed, even in the Old Testament, for the Gentiles' purpose. And so we're going to dig into that a little bit here, which in other ages was not made known, and it wasn't. In other ages, this mystery was not made known. Paul made known a mystery that no one else had had before. That's what he says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been not revealed by the Spirit, but has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, which he was one of them, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. This is the mystery he's talking about, the mystery of the gospel. And we're going to explain that mystery in many different fashions from many different sides and give you a lot of scripture. And he says, okay, so that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. What the gospel is, how the promises, which makes us what we are now, and that's not Jew or Gentile in Christ Jesus, but it's Christians, and we're essentially true Jews, and I'm going to prove that. I'm going to show it to you. It's really interesting. Of which I became a minister, Paul says, I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. And Romans 11:11 is, you know, a lot of you guys have been into 11:11. Remember that? I think that's maybe more significant than I realized, the 11:11. Many of you have told me, Randy, I keep saying 11:11. Well, you know, I think I might have part of what that might mean. All right, Romans 11:11, where it talks about the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the king of the gospel of Christ. Romans 11:11, ask them, did God reject his people? May it never be. For I also am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. So in other words, he was saying, making a point, that God hasn't rejected the Jews. He's just moved to a different level of how you become a Jew, right? How you became a Jew and what a real Jew is. Okay, we're going to talk here for a second about how Paul the Apostle was called to provoke to jealousy the Jewish people by revealing this mystery. All right, Romans 10:19 says, but I asked, didn't Israel know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy with that which is no nation. With a nation void of understanding, I will make you angry. Right, so you need to tuck that. That's Deuteronomy 32:31. You need to tuck that in your belt. Okay, here's Romans 11:11. Say then, have they stumbled that they should fall, the Jews, when they were rejected? Certainly not. And I say the same thing. But through their fall or stumbling to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is the riches of the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So in other words, Paul is saying here, he's about to explain that to be a true Jew is to be a Jew on the inside, not on the outside, not circumcision, not even the following of the law. If you're going to be a true Jew, you're going to be one inwardly, which is the circumcision of the heart, which I'm going to show you in a little bit. And when you start seeing this, you're going to understand the power of this. And so Paul begins to explain there's a mystery, and I'm going to explain that it's no longer going to be a mystery to you after I share this with you, and you're going to begin to see that this thing that has been a mystery is no longer a mystery. And the mystery being revealed is going to provoke the Jews to jealousy, because what we're going to explain to you is that the Gentiles who have been persecuting the Jews all these years, remember how Nineveh, Jonah went to Nineveh and he didn't want God to have mercy on them. They were Gentiles, and they were persecutors. They were torturers of the Jewish people, had been for a long time. They invented torture on Jews. I mean, it was just, you know, and so that's what the whole book of Jonah is about. The prophet Jonah goes to Nineveh, and when he goes to Nineveh, a heathen nation, through the city Jonah did, and he said in 40 days, this nation is going to be overthrown. And that's all he said. He didn't leave any mercy. He didn't leave room for anything. He said in 40 days, gave a time, he said, this nation, this city is going to be overthrown. And so when it wasn't overthrown, because God had mercy on it, he got angry. He got jealous. God, he got jealous. He got angry. And I'm reading this. See here, it says that to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them angry. Right? If by any means may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, this is what Paul the Apostle is saying. Let me read this whole thing. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. By any means, I provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. So he's saying here, God called him to the Gentiles to bring the Gentiles into the covenants of the Jews who had been, like Nineveh, persecuting Gentiles, persecuting Jews, hating Jews, destroying Jews. Now, Paul the Apostle is saying that, hey, Jews, get ready, because now that Christ has come, all those people that have been killing your people and murdering your people and persecuting and torturing your people are now going to have, you're going to have part of their, they are going to have part of your inheritance. All right? I tried to explain this the other night to you a little bit. I tried my best. And this is the best way I can explain it to you. Let's say that you you have probably, your father has like $10 billion, right? And there's five children. And so you're each going to get, you know, quite a bit of billion. And so let's say your father has $5 billion and you have five children. So each child is going to get $5 billion apiece, right? And then all of a sudden the father goes, well, wait a minute. You know, those people that have been treating you bad and have persecuting you, children, his five children, who he's about to hand the $5 billion to, you know what? You know, I decided to have mercy on them, and they're going to get part of your $5 billion. What do you think that you would do if that happened to you? So now your $5 billion, first, each child gets $1 billion apiece, right? That $5 billion. Five children, $1 billion apiece. And then the father says one day, well, you know, I think that all these people, even though they've been persecuting us and killing our family, I decided that I'm going to let them in if they accept, you know, certain things. So the Gentiles, these killers of the family members said, yeah, we want this. And so now the father says, now your $5 billion is going to be spread out over a bunch more people. What do you think the children are going to do, especially because they've been persecuted, tortured, tormented by the people that now your father is sharing the inheritance with? Right? What are you going to do? It's going to make you angry. It's going to provoke you to jealousy. You're going to say, Daddy, you know, like with Joseph, when Jacob was, you know, very favorable to Joseph, it's like the other brothers, what, got jealous. They were jealous. This is the same thing, except it's toward the Gentiles. And this is the mystery of the gospel that Paul is trying to explain, is that now you, the Gentiles who have been persecuting you, killing you, are now a part of your inheritance. And that's what Paul is saying right here in Romans 11:11. Have they stumbled? In other words, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. In other words, salvation meaning they have now become part of the inheritance of Abraham, from Abraham, through Abraham. Even the Bible talks about, we'll read this later, where God told Abraham, he said, you're going to be a father to the nations, not just to the Jewish people, but to the nations, because Christ is going to come through Abraham. Right? They didn't really understand that. Even when Jesus came, who did he come to? Remember the woman who had, the Gentile woman who had a daughter who had a demon? And Jesus, and she begged Jesus, please cast the devil out of my daughter. She's tormented, you know, all the time. And what did Jesus say? He said, man, I can't share this deliverance with you. This belongs to the Jewish people. But she says, well, even, because he called them dogs, he said, I can't share the bread, the children's bread with the dogs. Right? That's what Jesus said. Even Jesus said that. And what did the woman say? Even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And Jesus just went, that part of Jesus that knew what was going to happen, the part of Jesus that knew when he fulfilled the law, that's why he couldn't go to the Gentiles necessarily, because he had to fulfill the law under the Jewish law. He was born under the law to fulfill the law, and that was he had to be to the Jewish people because the law was done under the Jewish people. You see what I'm saying? So that's why he had to say, you know, even Jesus broke that, if you will. And he says, man, your faith, you know, yeah, your daughter's delivered. She's made whole. And then we have another Gentile situation where Jesus even said to the centurion, the one who said, just send the word. You know, Jesus was amazed at her faith and his faith. He said, there's no Jew. There is no Jew. There's no Israelite that has had the faith that you guys have. And Jesus healed them, broke his own words, if you will. And he said, okay, I'm going to do it. So you can see even in Jesus that Jesus was wanting to do what he promised Abraham, but he had to maintain doing things under the law, under Israel, because Israel bore the law. Therefore, he had to come to the Israelites who got the law from God and to fulfill it so that all the nations, like was promised to Abraham, he'd be the father of many nations. It wasn't just the nation of Israel. It was to many nations, right? So when you start understanding this, you're going to understand when we read scripture in Revelation, the book of Revelation, we're no longer going to misunderstand what he's saying, right? That's one of the reasons I believe that God is downloading this information right now. This may be a little heavy for some people, but if you can go back and listen to it, I'm trying to make it as simple as I can because I study all the time, so I'm used to the information. I'm trying to make it as simple as I can. I think most of you may be ahead of me on this, but some of you, you know, who don't understand all this, maybe you can start to grasp this, that when we teach this and share this with you, you're going to start seeing yourself in the book of Revelation in a way you never have, which is extremely important as to breaking down what's really going to happen and who it's going to happen to and who's going to be blessed and who's going to be used in the book of Revelation for the glory of God. And that's one reason we're going to be discussing this so that you kind of understand why this is so important that you get this so that you can properly down the scripture in the book of Revelation, which talks about the end times, the end of end times. It talks about a lot more than that, but it's mainly talking about the end times. The end times began after Jesus rose from the dead, the day of Pentecost came. That's when the end times really began. But the end of end times, you can begin to understand scripture from the time Jesus died and fulfilled the law. No longer was it just, you can no longer just obey the law and be circumcised to be called a Jew, according to Paul the Apostle. All right, so I'm going to try to come down from this a little bit. Tonight, I've talked about this before, but now I'm giving you scriptures that you can look at. That Paul the Apostle says in Romans 11, verse 13, he said, I speak to the Gentiles inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office, my ministry. In other words, his ministry was extremely important. He was saying that I magnify my ministry. This is extremely important what I'm saying. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, who are Jews, and save some of them, if there be any castaway, for if they're being, if the Jews being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So in other words, Paul's making it very clear. We're not doing away with the Jews, but he tells them how they must become a real Jew, right? And so Paul is talking here. He's saying that the grafting in of the Jews makes the grafting in of the Gentiles, the grafting in of the Gentiles through Christ Jesus is what makes the Jews jealous, mainly because, you have to think about this, mainly because we're going to get their inheritance. It's like getting in on somebody's inheritance. You know, that you were supposed to be in on it. Now all of a sudden you are. It's like that provokes them. And that's why Paul says, he says that provoking them to jealousy is revealing the mystery of the gospel. Right? Yeah. All right. So Paul says, and I'm going to kind of go maybe a little bit further. I don't want to get too deep on this, although we started late tonight. Sorry about that tonight. We started a little bit late. But so I want you guys to start. So let's go to another scripture here. Let's keep going a little bit more. And Paul the Apostle says, not all of Israel is Israel. I'm going to explain it to you. He says, not all of Israel is Israel. In other words, not all Jews are Jews. Circumcision, he says, is of no avail. I'm going to read this to you. And in the scripture, I'm going to give you the scripture here. It is Romans 2, verse, let me get this in a second. Romans 2, verse 25, for circumcision is what the covenant God gave to Abraham had to do with circumcision. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, which we don't anymore. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. In other words, you can be circumcised, still not be a Jew if you're breaking the law. In other words, you're circumcised, you're called a Jew or Israelite, but if you're breaking the law, then, you know, your circumcision has become uncircumcision, right? So he's trying to explain something here, how is not all Israel are really Israel, as far as spiritual Israel. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, an uncircumcised man keeps the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? So he's even bring Paul the Apostle, who is the lawyer of lawyers under the law, understood the law more than anyone. That's why God chose him. He says, even if an uncircumcised man, who's not an Israelite, obviously, like Goliath was an uncircumcised Philistine, right? Remember that? Paul, David saying, you uncircumcised Philistine? What does that mean? You don't have the covenant of God. You're outside of the covenant of God. But Paul says here, even if an uncircumcised Philistine lacks requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcised Philistine self be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who are even with your written codes and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? In other words, he's saying right here, he says, if somebody is physically uncircumcised and fulfills the law, he will judge those who are Jews or Israelites or the circumcision as transgressors of the law. So he's starting to break down here what a real Jew is and what a circumcised person really is. 2, verse 28 and 29, I'm going to say this part. Real Jews are Jews inwardly. This is what Paul says, not me. Real Jews are Jews inwardly. In other words, born again. Romans 2, verse 28 and 29. For if he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, he says, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. In other words, he's saying right here, for he is not a Jew who is outwardly circumcised. In other words, he's saying your circumcision doesn't mean anything. You may practice the law and do whatever, but your circumcision means nothing. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. That's talking about us. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. All right, just a little bit further. They are not Israel that are Israel. I'm going to read that part. They are not Israel that are Israel. Israel rejection and God's purposes. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel. That's verse 5. Let me go here. Hang on a second. Get you that scripture. It's Romans 9. That's Romans 9, verse 6. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel. In other words, he's differentiating, he's showing the difference between those who were called by God to be Jews outwardly, and he gave the law to them. He's now saying, now that Christ has come, they're still Jews, but they're Jews outwardly. They're not really Jews inwardly. They're not really Jews. They're not really Israel. I'm not saying that the church is replacing Israel. In fact, just the opposite. I'm proving that we're not replacing Israel, but also that when you interpret who we are, Gentiles are now in Christ Jesus, what we are, then when you read things about Jews in the New Testament, especially in the book of Revelation, you're going to start looking at it a little bit differently, right? You're going to look at it a little bit differently and start understanding some things here. So, all right, let's go here, Romans 9. But it is not that the word of God, for they are not all Israel that are Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, right? Even though they were Jews in the natural and got circumcised, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as a seed. In other words, he's saying now that Christ has come, just because you were born of Jewish blood and the promises were given to you in the natural realm, he says that those who are the children of the flesh, you know, natural Israel, they are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Remember when Jesus told the religious leaders, he said, your father's the devil? Because even Jesus was trying to say, yeah, I know you're natural Israel, blah, 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 but you know what? I've come now and everything's changed. Everything's changed. He said, your father's the devil. Any person who's not born again, because now we have to compare who we are to being born again, not to whether we're a Jew or not, right? It's whether we're born again. So Jesus is saying, you're not born again. You don't honor me. You don't know who I am. Therefore, your father is the devil, right? So that he said that to a Jewish leader or to a Gentile leader. You know, oh, we believe in the Gentiles, we believe in the Israeli God. Well, it doesn't matter. Even if the Gentiles believe in the Israeli God, he said, you know, your father's the devil too. So it wasn't just the Jews that their fathers of the devil. It's Gentiles also who weren't born again. Their fathers of the devil also. So he was making it very clear that if you're not born again, number one, you don't go to heaven. Number one, you will not really know the Father. Number three, you're not real Israel. You'll always be natural Israel. God will honor natural Israel. And, you know, it's going to be a good thing for them eventually. But what to be able to interpret and see and understand who we are as Gentiles in the New Testament, and especially the book of Revelation, you'll need to understand this and get it really in your head really good. So that's when we're talking about this. Of course, the children of the promise are the children of God. He's talking about the difference between children of God and children of Israel. But this is the word of promise. At this time, I come and Sarah shall have a son. You know, and so, yeah, he talks about the promised child. I don't want to get into all that right now. So anyway, we're going to, and then Paul the Apostle comes down in Galatians, and he says there's not Jew nor Greek, or Jew nor Gentile in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to read all that to you at another time, but there's so much to get into here. It's so amazing. So the reason I'm doing this is I'm wanting to, we're going to move on and take callers now and talk about this. If somebody wants to talk about it a little bit, we're going to discuss this tonight with the people of God and let you know that we are, where we're headed with this, where we're going with all this, and to give you scripture and the basis for it and the purpose of it so that you will know exactly where we're going and what we're doing and why we're talking about all this in the light that we are, so we can properly interpret and look into, especially the book of Revelation. When you understand why I'm talking about this and connecting it to the book of Revelation, you'll understand why many people misinterpret a lot of it and say, well, your church isn't here, church is raptured, that's just about the Jews. And so you're going to see that natural Israel is mentioned in the Bible, of course, in the book of Revelation, but there's also many times that it's talking about spiritual Israel, right? And so we're going to dig into that and get a new look at that so that you won't be caught without knowing what's really going on. Yeah. All right. And one last thing, and then we're going to move to collective college. One thing I want to say about this, is I've talked about this, I think, last week, is that Paul the Apostle makes it very clear about Jews being jealous, that the reason he's saying God was using him to provoke the Jews to jealousy was because Paul is the one who's saying, hey, as the attorney, hey, I'm an attorney of the law, and the law says now you have to share your inheritance with the Gentiles. Even though they've been killing you, murdering you, persecuting you, torturing you all these years, now you have to let them have part of your daddy's inheritance. That's why Paul says they're going to be extremely jealous and be upset, wouldn't you? I mean, if that happened to you, think about it. Think about it. And I'm going to prove all that in Scripture here in the next few weeks and months so that we can get a really good understanding of all what the Scripture is talking about, okay? All right. All right, let's get ready to take callers now. Thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks for being patient. I was on a little bit, got on a little bit late tonight, and I apologize for that. But we are here. At least I'm here. You know, just honestly. Anyway, I'm just glad I can be here. I'm so thankful. All right, let's take callers here in a moment. Give me just one little break. I'm taking a little small break, and it will be right with you. Okay. All right, let's take our callers and see what's going on tonight. Hopefully you're all doing well. We're so grateful to be here tonight and thankful that God can use us here and to help build you up and encourage you. So if you have any comments about what I'm talking about tonight, you can do that. I need you to make sure and listen to all of it, of course, and it's really powerful. And I think it's going to change, and that may not change what you think, and maybe it'll make more clear what you think, and more definition to shaping your mind on who you are and who we are in Christ Jesus. It's truly amazing. All right, let's take our first caller here. All right, 734-672. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Jennifer from Michigan.
Oh, hey, Jennifer. All right, Jennifer, let's meet you just for a second. Hi, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jennifer, for being with us. And thank you, God, for okay. Okay. Interpretation of dream. Oh, yeah, yeah. May I talk about that? All right, we are going to find some very interesting things, I think. All right, Jennifer, thank you for being with us. Thank you, Jesus, for clearing out all the clutter. I think I see God, you know, doing, spring cleaning, like you do the spring cleaning, and you kind of open the windows and air things out and, throw away things that you don't need, things that you, well, I was going to use that, and you kept it for years, and you think, well, I'm not going to use that for a year or 5 years. I'm going to throw it away, you know, and you start throwing away things and making room for new things. I see you making room for new things, and, that's the thing that keeps a lot of us from moving forward with the Lord, is that we hang on to our old things, you know, and we all do this. Sometimes we say we don't, but we really do. And because we just, you know, think that we're not hanging on to it, but we really are. And so God starts to reveal to us, you know, what we're hanging on to and what we need to let go of. It may not necessarily be bad things, but just be things, you know. So, and so I see God really showing you how to clear things up so you can receive more and grow more and have more, ability to receive more. Because sometimes, you know, a lot of things that we believe, you know, our tradition, we say it's not tradition, but we've you know, been taught it all of our life. And so I think God's really going to begin to work with you and open you up to this whole thing about how to, you know, giving new information on who you are as a, what your calling is, what your purpose is, and defining why God even wants to bless you financially. You know, what's the purpose of being blessed financially? You just have something for ourselves. You know, yes, that's part of it. Part of the promises of God are to bless you. You know, and you get blessed, and you get blessed, then you can be a blessing. And so the Bible very well proves out that the reason God blesses us is, yes, to be a blessing. We just don't live on the street corner and then give all of our money away. Now, you can do it if you want to, but the promise is to bless you, to give you what you need, take care of you, and prosper you and bless you so that you can be a blessing to other people. So, you know, we start understanding that we start understanding Scripture and what the Scripture really says about why God gives us money, why he blesses us, what prosperity is truly about instead of about what people have made it, that we start understanding that, then we are able to receive it and walk in it because we know that as God blesses me and prospers me in whatever way he chooses to do that, it's we know what that's for. You know, we know what we've been being blessed for. The purpose of, many people do not receive their blessings because they don't know what that blessing's for. So they get the blessing, they'll use it for themselves, as the Scripture talks about, instead of using it on what God wants them to use it for. And so as we learn and grow and make room for, you know, what God is saying and doing, then the blessings come in because now we know what our purpose is. And so I see God really establishing more and more purpose to you, more and more design to you, you know, so that he can really bless you and pour out his blessings on you because you understand what those blessings are for, right? Yeah. So very, very interesting. Very cool. All right. Let's talk to Jennifer tonight. See what's going on with her. Jennifer, how are you? Good to hear from you tonight.
Yeah, I'm good. Doing pretty good. How about you?
Doing good. Just, you know, it's holiday season, so I'm just trying to figure out, what's going on with the holidays? Where am I going? What am I going to be doing? And, you know, who am I spending that with? And what's going on? It's kind of, you know, since Thanksgiving. And, yeah, so I'm actually doing things I didn't think I would be doing during the holidays. It's kind of a special blessing. So, yeah, so I'm kind of doing that, doing good. And
that's good.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying myself right now, yeah. What are you doing these days?
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. You know, same thing, just trying to enjoy the season with my family and doing fun things and mm-hmm. especially after the year we all had, you know, like not being able to do as much. So it's kind of nice to feel like, you know, you can do a little bit more now. And yeah, it's been good. Other than that, nothing really, you know, just working and trying to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's
right.
It's definitely interesting time right now in our world.
This new variant thing they're starting to pump up again. It's like, I'm going, where's that going to go?
I know.
You know, my God.
I
Isn't
know.
That crazy? It's like, yeah. And I'm just asking the Lord. I'm always asking the Lord. I hear what they say, and I'm always asking the Lord, you know, what do you say about all that? So if I get anything, I can at least share it with people.
Right, exactly. I know, and I'm wondering the same thing too, because I'm just like, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I know you do. So just, yeah,
right.
I know.
Good.
Mhm. Oh, I was just going to say, I know he'll show us, you know, what to do and give us the wisdom, but it's just a matter of trusting him for it. So.
Right. To me, the whole thing, like, you can tell something's going on. How real it all is, I know a lot of it, I know the COVID-19, it's real. We've had, you know, Marcus Lamb, the president of Daystar Network, just passed away. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it's very sad. And, you know, so, mm-hmm. and they were really, you know, they were more than anybody preaching, you know, don't take the vaccine, which I'm not a vaccine person either. I'm not against the vaccine, but I'm not a vaccine person. But, you know, so that was kind of crazy. And they're really have to be rocking and reeling from that. To me, that was a big sign of, you know, we're in a special place. Like you said, we're in a place like, what's going on around here? You know, and Marcus
right.
was 64 years old. I think the only problem he had was some diabetes. But, I mean, he's not a real popular person. He's just out there because he has Daystar Network, and it's one of the two Christian networks that are, you know, the big ones. And so because of that, he's a very well-known person. And for that to happen to him, I don't know. I mean, I talked about that last Thursday, I think, or Wednesday, and what I felt God was showing me about it. So when I see the new variants coming up and all this stuff, I'm looking at it as a prophet. I look at it as, you know, okay, God, what are you going to show me about this? Like what, like the Marcus Lamb thing, you know, it's not just an incident that happened. There's something, it's saying something, but to know what it's saying is everything. Cause if you don't know what it's really saying from God's perspective, then you're going to misinterpret it and therefore get off on all these tangents and miss what God is doing and miss the whole thing. You know, so I think that the time of season that we're in, of the end of the end times, where we're at with that, I don't know exactly. But we are definitely being awakened, I would definitely say.
Mhm. Yeah. Have you talked about the Antichrist? I thought someone from PGN was telling me that you were going to talk about it or – something. I don't know if you already
right.
done that, but. Mm-hmm.
You mean talk about it as give the name?
Yeah, I thought she had said something like that, but maybe, I don't know if you did give
yes.
the name
okay.
or not.
Good.
I mean.
Good question. Yeah, good question. There's no bad question. That's a good question. What has happened lately, Jennifer, is that, you know, whether people believe it or not, you know, I've been talking about this since God showed me who the Antichrist is. He wrote it in front of me, gave me his initials and his last name. And, you know, and so I've told the stories about that. I don't know if you've ever heard the stories of those things that have happened to me. But long story short, because most people who keep up with us kind of know a little bit about what I've been saying. Here's what's happened. I have not told people who the Antichrist is because God wouldn't allow me. I gave hints. I told what color his hair is, which is a little unusual, red. Kind of like it's like a dark red. It's not like a light red. But dark red hair. A well-known person, you know, and I gave details about him. And so because of that, people have tried to search and see if they could find who the Antichrist is. And nobody really had over the last 10 years, as I've talked about this, until, Jennifer, about a few months ago, someone from PGN sent me a text. And in the text, it said, gave a name of somebody. And I knew that, who that name was. That's the Antichrist. I was thinking, where did they get that at? And then they sent me another text. They said, ? Is this the Antichrist? And honestly, Jennifer, I was so freaked out because nobody has, you know, guessed specifically who he is. And I've never given the information because God wouldn't allow me to give it. He just said, give plenty of hints so that when they do know who it is, it'll be obvious that I did know and that God did tell me. It would be very obvious. And so this person from PGN texted me this a few months ago, and I'm thinking, oh, no, what am I going to do? Do I have to tell them? Do I tell them? Do I not tell them? You know, God, this has been classified information, and you don't give classified information without getting in trouble, you know, even in the government realm. And same thing with the kingdom of God. And so so I thought about it, and I sent a text back, and I said, I was acting dumb, you know. I said, well, gosh, where did you get that name? You know? And she goes, I just happened to be looking at this and that and the other, and you gave some hints to us, you know, over the years. And she said, all those hints you gave us, it seems like that's the person. And I went, Jennifer, I went, oh, my gosh, this has never happened in 10 years, however long it's been. Oh, my gosh. I was in a state of shock. I was going like, oh, do I have permission to tell her? You know, how do I do this? Do I do this? Do I not do this? I mean, this has been such a big secret, right? And so so I text her back, and I said, well, if I tell you who the Antichrist is, if I tell you who the Antichrist is, will you promise you won't tell anybody? And she goes, yeah, I promise. I went, okay. And I said, that name you gave me, that is the Antichrist. And she went, wow. She went, wow. I could read the exact text to you, but I have to go to my text to find them. But this, if that person's listening to them, I would say probably are. Yeah. So that kind of, what that did, so when I got approval to say, yeah, that's who it was, because I could have hem-hawed around. You know, I mean, I can hem-haw around. I had a hem-haw. I can hem-haw around. Well, I can't really say right now, but that's a very interesting name, and I could have gone on and on, right? And I almost did that until the Lord, you know what the Lord told me? He said, Randy, the reason that this is happening today is because it's getting close to time for the revealing of the Antichrist, and that's why I allowed this to happen. Because it so shocked me, Jennifer. I was like, I was freaking out a little bit. I have to say, I was freaking out a little bit going, do I tell them? Do I say it? it's been such high classified information for so long. You know, if I do this, I know how God is. If you break his classified information rules, you get in big trouble. And I've been in big trouble before with God about this. And so I've had to repent, and he restored it back to me. And it was scary not to be able to get that level of information from God. And so I learned from that. So that's why I was very careful to tell this person, that's who it is. Promise me you won't tell anybody. And so that happened. And then a few months later, I can't remember exact details, maybe 2 months later, three, another PGN person, they came to Dallas to do some business, and they wanted to have lunch. So I had lunch with them. A long story short, as I'm sitting, I got them in, they were in the truck with me, this guy, he was sitting in the truck with me, and I haven't seen him. I haven't met with them, and you know, they came to the studio, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember, and I haven't seen them since. They call into the show often enough. So he was sitting there in the truck with me, and when I looked at him, I'm not thinking about the Antichrist. I'm not thinking about nothing, right? I'm just thinking, what are we going to talk about? How do you want to minister to this person? You know, like I always do when I get together with people. And so I'm sitting there looking at him, Jennifer, and in his mind, I don't know how to explain how I see this in somebody's mind, but I saw in his mind, in the skull, in his brain, I saw the name written, guy, the Antichrist, right? And I was like going, I looked at him and I went, and the Lord said, I want you to tell him who the Antichrist is today. And see, that's never happened before. And I'm kind of going, oh, so we sat down, we're eating lunch, and I'm trying to figure out, how do I do this? So he brings up some big people, big important people, you know, blah, blah, blah. And long story short, I said, so who do you think the Antichrist is? And Jennifer, God is my witness, and if they're listening now, they'll tell you exactly, I'm telling you exactly the truth, the whole truth, and the truth. Out of his mouth came the name of the Antichrist. And I went, dude, wow. Yeah, I was like going, no, because you see, I saw it written in his mind. And when I saw it written in his mind, I thought it's because I'm going to tell him, right? And so when I says, we were just talking about some big, you know, well-known people, and somehow the Antichrist thing got in there. I said, well, you know, so who do you think the Antichrist is? He just, I mean, he didn't guess two or three different people. He blurted this guy's name out. Oh, my goodness. You know, what is going on? I was freaking out. And then I told him, I said, the Lord told me to tell you today. I said, how did you get that name? He said, Randy, I've been doing research on this person for a long time, years.
Wow.
And the family and the whole thing. And I said, you know, he said the reason I, just like the other person, he says, the reason that I said his name to you today, when you asked me who the Antichrist was, is because all the hints that you gave us fit this person, just like the other person said. You see what I'm saying? And so,
mm-hmm.
Jennifer, I was like, honest to God, I'm like going, it scared me because not only do I know personally that we are, the revealing of the Antichrist is going to be very soon. I know that because when Joe Biden became president, if you've ever heard me talk about this, as from a prophet's perspective, God showed me that when Joe Biden became president and the way he became president and the way it all happened, if you know those stories, I don't know if you know them or not, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But so I knew that because when Joe Biden became on November the 11th, when he became announced as, you know, the winner of the election, according to, you know, Fox and in CNN and others, the major networks, you know, that when that happened that day, there was an explosion that went on inside my belly because I was just totally shocked, you know, because God shouted his name to me back in 2008, kept up with him ever since then. And so when that day that he became that, you know, said that he won the election, and my spirit exploded in my belly area, and the Lord said to me, everything I've told you is about to come to pass. Just like that, just instantly like that. And I'm going to tell you something, Jennifer, what God has told me is not what most people want to be coming to pass. I say generally speaking, not what most people want to come, because he showed me the two witnesses. He showed me the Antichrist. I've talked about this over the years. Everybody knows who's listening to me the very long. I've talked about the Antichrist, the revealing of the Antichrist, and God showed me, you know, show me things about that, and I've talked about it publicly on the show, and also about the two witnesses. Well, those two things, not even counting the other things, just those two things right there, Jennifer, tell us that if I'm hearing from God, if what I'm hearing is from God, so when those two people said the name, you know, even though I know that we're heading there, it was even another sign to me that we are actually there. You see what I'm saying? Because that has never happened mm-hmm. in 10 years. And I've talked about this for 10 years or so or longer.
Wow.
Does that answer your
wow,
question?
That's amazing.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And the reason I ask is because, I mean, I won't share this, you know, on here, but I had a dream about it. That's why I was just interested in, you know, maybe talking to you at some point about it. Cause I did have a dream quite a few years ago, and, I don't feel like I'm supposed to, like, you know, say it on here anyway, but
what's the name?
Maybe at some point,
or just some general information.
Yeah. About the Antichrist and, just about some things that might happen.
Right, I'm asking you specifically the name of the Antichrist, or just general information about or information about the Antichrist.
Information, and I see that was one thing. It's like he wouldn't let me hear the name, but he let me hear the first what it started with, and that is, you know, it's always bothered me because it's like why you know, he just didn't want me to hear it. So, but I did hear, I. Well, let's put it this way. I heard the name, but it's like I forgot as soon as I woke up. But things that if I hear the name, I'll know it. if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
Because I know what the, what starts with. Yeah, but it's like he purposely made me not remember that part. So.
Okay, interesting.
But yeah.
All right, cool.
I did see him though, so.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mhm.
All right. Cool. Well, you know, I know it's time. I don't know exactly, you know, I take this thing, you know, very seriously. That's why I've never mentioned his name before or even given any hints about his name other than I've given hints about his hair and some other things. And both the people that came up with the name said that they said that name because of the hints that I'd given, which is what I've been telling people for years. I said, you have to realize that the hints that I've been giving you guys about the Antichrist, when you see who it is, you're going to go, yep, that's right. And that's exactly what both those people said, is exactly that. Because I told this one brother, when he said it, he said, yeah, he opened up and he said, honestly, it's because, you know, the names you give you, the information you've given us. And he said, and when he'd done research on this family and on these people for a long time, but there's a lot of family members. There's a lot of different people that it could be, you know, lots of different people. And so, but when you nail it down to the information that I gave, and even the age, everything, the age, the general age of him, about in his 50s, his hair's, you know, like a dark reddish color, like a burgundy red, you know, it's not like light red, and a well-known family, I've given several different hints. And that fit every one of them. And so he's going like, that's why I blurted out the name. You see, it's so weird because I saw that name written in his mind. And literally I realized, even though he did not know who the Antichrist was, he had the name in there because of the hints that I'd given. And therefore that was, I saw that literally in his brain. It's really hard to explain how I saw that. But so that tells me that we are very close to saying who the person is publicly and making it known to the world. You know, we're very close to that, but I'm not ready to give that name out publicly yet.
Right.
As far as if somebody tells me the person's name, then I think that I will do that just like I did the other two people that did it. I will say, yeah, that's the person. And but other than that, I will, you know, I'm not ready to make that declaration out publicly, and there's reasons for it. Because once, the last person who told me the name, and they said, when I confirmed it to them that is the person, they felt the heaviness of it. They said, man, this is heavy. Now that I know for sure, you confirmed to me that for sure, it's very heavy. It is very heavy, and it's not as, what's the word to say? It's not as cool as everybody thinks it is. Because this is a very big situation that when this opens up and this happens, it's going to blow people's minds, especially pre-tribulation rapture people who think they're going to be gone, which you may be one of those, I don't know. But it's going to blow their mind. And the fact that God showed it to me, I even asked him, I said, you know, you got to think about this. Why did God show that to me, brother? Why do you think God showed that to me? Why do you God show me the revealing of the Antichrist? After he gave me his name, he showed me the revealing of the Antichrist and Satan himself being there for the unveiling. And then when I woke up from that dream, the Lord said, his hair is red. I'm going, his hair's red? I've seen pictures of him. But the picture that I saw, because God already gave me his initials and his last name. And so when I saw the picture, I just thought he had been at some party with some bunch of political people. Actually, it was for, of course, he was with some Republican. I'm not going to say the name of the guy, but he was at some Republican party. And as he was coming out, you know, somebody snapped a shot of him. And you could see his, you know, his hair was there. But it just looked brown to me. You look at it as a brown. But so when the Holy Spirit said, and his hair is red after the dream I had about the Antichrist, the unveiling of the Antichrist, and as I'm waking up from this mysterious, crazy, it wasn't crazy, but very like, ooh, you know, kind of a dream, because it was freaking me out, because Satan himself showed up in the dream for the unveiling. And then as I'm waking up from the dream, the Holy Spirit, just as gentle as I'm talking to you, said, yeah, and his hair is red, just like that. I went, his hair is red. And so I went and I looked at the bio of him, not knowing that his hair was red, Jennifer. I did not know his hair was red. You can't tell it in the picture that I saw of him, the first one that I saw, one that I had on my computer. And when I saw that his hair was red, girl, I freaked out. I went, God, I mean, I already knew, God, that you showed me, but that was mind-boggling, to say the least.
Wow, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah, waking up from a dream like that, I'm sure was. Wow.
Yeah, it was one of those eerie dreams. I've never seen Satan before. That's the first time I've ever seen Satan. I've seen Jesus, but I've never seen Satan before. And, you know, I saw him from his neck up, you know. And it was, you know, it was scary, eerie kind of a dream. And then as I'm waking up, like I said, just a gentle voice of Jesus. Said, and his hair is red, just like that. I'm going like, oh, my God. And sure enough, I was just like, you know, I mean, this is the Antichrist, man. This isn't just like, you know, some, it was crazy. Very, very difficult. And so when I shared with my brother, with my friend, PGN friend, you know, and told him it was, he said, man, I feel the heaviness of this thing. I said, yep, exactly. It's very heavy. And that's why I haven't shared it all these years, because you think it's just, oh, I just want to know who the Antichrist is. But when you find out who it is, there's something about it that it's not scary. I don't want to use the word scary, but you feel the heaviness of it, because this is heavy. This is heavy information.
Right. Yeah, it is. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I felt the same way, you know, just waking up from something like that. It was like, it was, like you said, your mind is just can't comprehend it, or I don't even know how to explain the feeling, but I was definitely in a daze for like a week or so after that, just trying to figure out what happened and what was going on. And
yeah,
the main when I woke up from it, the main thing that the Lord spoke to me is he said, in your lifetime, you will see him. You will see this. And that was the main thing that I took from it, was like, he was just telling me, because I had this dream when I was, I was like 20, I think. And so he showed me, you know, that in my lifetime I would see that. And that was, you know, I didn't know that I was going to live to see that. So, you know, like you're saying now, that it's going to happen soon. It's like, I totally, you know, I know that. I feel that, because it's like, I know that we're going to see that.
We are.
Which, you know, kind of scary, but what can you do? Just trust the Lord, and yeah, that's all we can do.
Yeah, most of the really scary, like the Battle of Armageddon and all that, I mean, that's all going to be happening, not going to be happening in the United States. It's going to be in Israel. You know, so most of the enemies, are like Iran, they're Middle Eastern people, though the whole world, you know, I say the whole world, people from, there will be nations all around the world that will hate, that will be Antichrist. And it's like the Bible says, it truly is true. But I tell people, I said, yeah, that's true. But it also says there's going to be believers around the whole globe too. You know, it's like, come on, quit focusing in on all the, oh, he's going to be so powerful, man. He's going to be all over the whole globe. He's going to control everything. If he was going to control everything, which he does try to do, no doubt, in a way that nobody else ever has, because we have, you know, computers, we have all the everything going on, the identification systems, all that happening. But the thing is that most people they forget about the two witnesses, which I talk about quite a bit, is that the two witnesses mess him up all the time. So where's Mr. Big Bad at? When all the two witnesses show up, what's going on? They can't stop the two witnesses from messing up his stuff, and they messed up his stuff all the time, according to Revelation 11. And so people have the wrong image of all this, Jennifer, and that's why I'm approaching it like I am and like I do, because it has been totally misrepresented, totally. All they talk about is how big and bad the Antichrist is, and they never talk about, you know, how God constantly harasses him and stops him from doing his stuff constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
Anything else?
Well, if you wouldn't mind just saying a prayer, my husband and I, we've been trying to purchase a home, and we just want the Lord's direction because we've made an offer on a home, and we're not sure if, you know, we should really go with it or not.
Okay, yeah. What area of the world are you guys in? The U.S.
We're in Michigan.
Oh, Michigan. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to buy in Texas, and man, everything's gone up. It's crazy. But
I know.
Now, you guys selling? Do you also have something to sell, or are you just buying?
Nope, we'll just be buying. So nothing to sell, and you know, we're just a little. We're kind of nervous, like, just because, you know, we don't know what's going on in the world. And, you know, I guess we're just feeling like, is this really something the Lord would want us to do, or should we do? I mean, we've felt peace from him, but, you know, I don't know if this is the exact right time or if he wants us to wait longer. You know, I just, so many questions. It's just so hard to know.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, yeah, it is difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we can pray about that. If I get something from the Lord, I'll definitely share it with you. But, yeah, if I don't, I just, all I can do is pray. But
mm-hmm.
I would be glad to do that, of course. Yeah. Okay, let's pray about that. Thank you, Jesus, for Jennifer and the purchasing their house. I know we have friends, PGN friends. We have several PGN friends that have purchased houses just recently. So I think God's definitely into that. But as far as you specific, I don't know. But we thank you, Jesus, for opening up that dimension of the Spirit where she can, you know, feel confident and have your confidence, God, and know that, you know, the times and seasons to purchase things and do things and moving things. You know, I think we're going to be, you know, this is just what I know I have timing on. I do have timing now on when the transition is going to go from the U.S. being the world-dominant nation to basically being handed over to Europe. I do have timing on that. However, I don't have specific information on when that does happen, whether because a lot of people have kind of attacked me on this with a lot of ignorance. A lot of ignorant talking because you don't really know what I've been saying, what the Lord's been showing me. But I haven't been saying that just because America is going to be downgraded, their image of what I said is like, oh, we're going to be, Chandler's saying we're going down. America's going to be having nothing but food lines and, you know, soup lines. It's all going to be going down to hell in a handbasket, as they say. And I've never said that. You know, I haven't said that at all. So I don't know. I don't have an exact detailed information on when the transition happens, which is going to be not in years and years and years, but also it's going to be in months and months and months. But I don't know. I do not know when that transition is made. If at that time the market will fall apart or what. That I don't have the timing on. I don't have a word from God about that yet. But I do have a timing on the transition of when the U.S. is hands the baton over through the Biden administration, through not, maybe not the Biden administration so much. I'm going to give myself away right over here. Through the Democratic system people, whoever's in control, and they're going to be system people, which are, you know, at this point, Democrats, although the Republicans are the non-Trump Republicans are system people also. So, but that's going to happen. And so So trying to say this without getting in trouble with the Lord, but so we have some time. That transition is going to happen. And that is going to change America, but it's not going to make America be, you know, go from a one world, number one in the world to number 50 or number 100 or whatever it would be. It's going to be like number three, number two, and then, you know, it's going to go back and forth and back and forth, maybe three or four, but it's not going to be jumped down to the very bottom. So what I'm saying to people is, now that I have a word on the timing, and when I can give that away, I will. If God allows me to do that, I will definitely give that information. But even then, I don't know if housing is going to be, if the economy is going to go down right away, or it's going to be a process. So we have some time. And my teaching is, the revelation I have from the Lord is that if Christ was coming back next month, which nobody knows, let's say he was, I think that people say, oh, man, if you know Jesus is coming back, shouldn't we be selling our houses and selling our homes, not be trying to buy property and land and not be trying to and go out and witness for Jesus? I'm going like, well, if that's what the Lord's telling you to do, you mean you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do right now? Oh, so you're buying a house and land and God's not involved in that? Because if he is, then buy your house, buy your land, get your home for your family, share Jesus whenever, you know. In other words, if you're not walking the will of God right now, you know, God wants you to have houses and homes. And those houses and homes, Jennifer, I'm teaching and prophesying and speaking that it's going to move into the millennium with us. So it's not like, do we give up everything and go witness for Jesus? No. Part of the covenant of God is a house, a home, family. In the millennium, after Christ comes, we're going to have a millennium. 1,000 years of families and houses and homes and nations and doing business and all that kind of thing. So when you see it, when you see everything the way I see it, what God has shown me, then you look at buying and selling, you know, land and property and doing business in a whole different fashion. Does that make sense? And so even though I'm trying to pray for you, but I can't seem to pray for you. All I can do is tell you my information. But so you have any questions about that? Maybe I'm not making something clear.
No, I mean, that makes sense. You know, I've kind of felt that too, that, you know, eventually at some point, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, I kind of felt just like, he's going to bless his people for a time. So, you know, I don't know what else to do except just trust in him, and if he blesses us with a home or something, you know, to just believe he's going to take care of us. But
yeah, well, the big thing's going to be as far as a business decision on housing is, now houses are up double places. I don't know about Michigan. Houses in Texas and homes and property in Texas is like, it may be more than doubled. It's a lot. So the big thing with people is do I buy now, or is there going to be, they kind of hint around with me, Randy, do you think there's going to be a bubble that's going to burst, and all of a sudden these houses we're buying that are on the market for $500,000 are going to be $100,000 next week? I say, that's possible. That is a good reason to wait. You know, that's a good reason to wait. But the problem is I do not have that work. And since this is all human information, but through prophetic lens, since you don't have a house to sell right now, if you're selling a house, your house went from $200,000 to $500,000. So now you have $500,000 to work with, right? But you're buying a house that you could have normally bought for, you know, $200,000, and now you're paying $600,000 for it. So it's not really that big of a transition. And if it all goes down, that $600,000 house you bought after selling your $500,000 home, that's not that big of a deal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But if you are starting from scratch and you don't have something to sell, with the market being up high, and then take that same money and invest, put that into a new house and maybe need $100,000 to pay it off, so to speak, then that's all a different program. Then we're talking about starting out with nothing and going to buying a house for $500,000 that if you waited a week, I'm just as an example, and the market house has a bubble and it pops, and all of a sudden all the houses go back down to from 500,000 to 100,000, then in that sense, you know, you want to be led by the Lord, right? I mean, you want to know. Because
mm-hmm.
that $500,000 house you bought because you didn't have a house to, you know, sell, to have that money, that's a lot of money to think about and a big investment and a big loss for you.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure I'm making it clear.
That's kind of what I've been thinking about.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, that's a good thing to think about. I'm not giving you a word from the Lord. I'm just telling you that that's a good thing to consider and think about if you don't have a house to sell. However,
mm-hmm.
when God blesses, it doesn't make anything any difference whether you could move into that house and God could, you know, you buy a house for $500,000 that if the market pops, it could be $100,000 mark. If God gives you the $500,000, you pay for it, you know, then he's going to, if it goes down to $100,000, if God's taking care of you, what difference does it make, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As far as God taking care of you. In a business sense, if you knew what the market was going to do 6 months from now, what's 6 months? You know, what's waiting 6 months? Nothing to saving $400,000 if the market pops.
Right.
If the housing pops.
Yeah.
Right. What's 6 months? You could pay rent for 6 months and it'd be, you know, better than going and losing $400,000. Right. So that's the kind of the thing that I try to get people to think about in buying a house and buying land, buying property. In fact, you know, this is what I'm doing. I don't have a ministry property to sell for, you know, $1 million to go buy a property for $2 million. I don't have that, you know. I don't have that. So, but I know God's going to do that, whatever he's going to do. When I find the land, when God shows me the land, the property, and said, that's it, you know, and he says, it's time, I'm going to do it. I don't care if it costs, you know, $1 trillion. You know, I'm going to do it, and God's going to provide for it. But I don't have that yet. So, anyway, so I'm sorry. I don't know if I messed you with your mind a little bit. But I can tell you that the market bubble, if there is one, that as far as I see, that isn't going to happen for a while.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I don't have, but I do not have a word from the Lord on that. But in knowing the timing of the transition from the U.S. being number one to being number two or three or whatever happens, how far it goes down the line, well, it's not going to go that far. But like people are accusing me of, they go, he's trying to say, that probably trying to say that if we lose our first, you know, number one status in the world, he's saying we're going to go down. I'm not saying that. I never said that. Never even came close to saying it, but that's what they're saying, I'm saying. Because they don't want, I don't know, some of them don't want people to listen to me or, you know, whatever. So I don't ever even mess with it, but I'm not saying that. And so we'll be number two, and if we keep obeying God and do what God says and, you know, give to the poor and the needy and the church quits merchandising the gospel, some of our leaders will quit dying. That's what I say.
Yeah.
And those that are heading up the merchandising realm and through television networks and radio networks and all the Christian networks, that they're like a big prostitution ring, what I call it. The pimps selling God's, that's kind of a rough way to say it, but that's really how I feel about it. A bunch of pimps selling Jesus' word. And when you're the head of that, like Marcus Lamb, you know, I love Marcus Lamb. He's messed up, but he's gotten right with God. I think he had a heart after God, but he didn't quit merchandising. And I think it opened up the door for God to use him as an example of better listen to what the prophet's saying instead of just listening to your own intellect. And, well, we've been doing this, selling. This is how we raise money for the gospel is sell the – well, how else are we going to raise money? Well, you might try doing what the Bible says for the ministries to raise money, and that is to quit selling Jesus and his word and start giving, and it'll be given back to you. start doing that. Might try that on. That might be nice. Kind of, as you might know, that's my message. And God hasn't changed it yet. So anyway, so I'm going to answer your question about the house, but I don't have a word about it. But let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the house, seeing that they're heading toward that. God, I just thank you for showing them that you're the provider. And they already know that. And you're going to provide for them. And when they know and they make the right bid, they may make three or four bids. They may make one bid. They may make 10 bids. I don't know what their process is going to be. But I know that you're going to bless them, Jesus, because they're seeking you. And they're going to find you. They're going to knock, and it's going to be open. The door will be opened. And I thank you, Lord, that they just keep knocking. And knocking means bidding. Bid on house, bid another house. Bid on another house. I don't know what knocking means, but knocking means knock, 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 you know. And when the door opens, God will provide. And he'll show the way. So open that up, Jesus, in Jesus' name. All right, Jennifer.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Talk to you.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. Hang on a second, everybody. All right. All right, let's take 720-819. It's Jeff and Yuki from Colorado.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, have your ears
Sorry,
been burning?
What's that?
Have your ears been burning?
Yeah, we caught some of that. That was great. I'll tell you, though, I wanted to talk to you more about some of the things you mentioned there, and I felt like I don't even want to text, call. I just thought we'll fly out there and talk to you again because, like you said, it's heavy and there's that type of information. It's not like I would be rushing to share it. Obviously, God has a plan with that. And it's mind-blowing for sure, but I think people not carrying around that burden is probably a good thing.
Yeah, in case people are listening, Jeff was the guy that I don't think I didn't say your name, but since you're on the show, we might as well. I think
okay. Just, I don't care.
We can't say the name of the Antichrist, but we can talk. Jeff from Colorado. Jeff and you from Colorado. They came to Dallas, and did I tell the story pretty good or?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. You know, I told you I'd been, literally having that name kind of obsessed with that family and name since I was 15, 16 years old.
I remember, yeah.
So it was written right there in my head, and I kind of pushed it away because just didn't want to always think about that type of stuff. But, I mean, it was ready to go right when you asked me if I could guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty big thing. And like you had said that day when I confirmed that that is the name that God showed me, I mean, I can't remember exactly how you said it. You might say it exactly how you felt, but you felt the heaviness of it, right? Something like that. Explain that a little bit.
I just felt like it was a burden. And with that information, you're going to know things that, you know, events that are going to happen and where the whole agenda is going. And, you know, if you watch all that type of stuff, it would just, you know, I just felt like it's not for everybody because it's not going to bring you joy, peace, happiness. It's heavy information.
Yeah. It is heavy.
I think that, you know, part of stuff I want to maybe talk about in person, but part of it maybe what God is not revealing this information to everyone is there's financial gain that people could get from this in a number of ways. And if it's not being used that financial gain is not really used for the kingdom, you know, it might be a problem.
Financial gain, like how? I mean, can you say, or just kind of give some general information?
Just, just kind of, all right, like, these are the moves this individual person is making. This is their agenda. This is where, you know, the markets are going. Obviously, that individual is going to mislead people as well. But if you're operating that and getting words from God, you know, and you wanted, you know, selfishly or unselfishly to make financial gain, you know, you might have indications of timelines of things, and then that would be used, you know, hopefully for the kingdom. But if it's not, you know, and people's hearts aren't right, you know, that would be a problem. Because I feel like it's exactly what you're talking about. The sermon today, to kind of wrap on that, is I think, you know, I'm interpreting myself, correct me if you're wrong, but, you know, the Jewish system, right, a financial government, a lot of these things are embedded in our, you know, banking, in our system. And part of the Gentiles, you know, driving the Jews to jealousy is God is setting up his own kingdom here on earth, his own systems, government, political, financial, and things are going to get flipped on their heads. And not only, you know, living in the letter of the law, but just the way that they things do, the way they operate together. And then here's some Gentile, you know, knowing these things supernaturally, and all of a sudden there's new billionaires and trillionaires in God's kingdom that are making these aggressive moves, setting up a separate system outside of Babylon and Egypt. You know, it could be mind-blowing stuff going on for the kingdom. And part of you revealing this information, or the more you tell, it's maybe an indication, and in tandem, God is setting up his kingdom here on earth. And there's a world structure that's getting set up for Christians.
Right. In other words, like what happened in Israel, what happened in Egypt with Israel, which we've, as you know, we've been talking about this for a long time, and I'm not even really realizing it, you know, the blood of the doorpost, which we've done every Thursday, is, and talk about the story. We talk about the story almost, not every Thursday, but a lot of Thursdays. What all that meant, and the wealth being transferred over to God's people, it was for their, it wasn't just for them to have some money. They're going to go out in the money in the wilderness. And what are they going to do with their money out in the wilderness? They can't buy nothing. There's stores out there. They can't really do, you know, I guess maybe they do a little trading between themselves, but what's it for? It's for their system, for their system. And that's what I've been trying to tell people for a while, especially more than I have realized it. I haven't realized everything either. God shows me things, and I don't realize what it's for. I just know I'm hearing from it, hearing about it, and I talk about it the best I can. So to realize that that's the perfect pattern, in a sense, about what's about to happen, is that the wealth is going to be so that the Christians, just like Israel, that gold and silver and cloth was for them to have their own currency. You know, when they got to the Canaan land, you know, and it was to help build the temple, the tabernacle, that is, that was part of it. But it was also for them to have money and for the currency, because every person walked away with gold and silver and cloth. Why did that happen? Because God has a currency. Everybody has that currency, just like they do today. Everybody has money in their pocket, right? When they walked out of Egypt, they walked out of Egypt with Egypt's money as their currency, if you will. And so we're going to see the same thing with the biggest, baddest Antichrist, Pharaoh, and yet God's going to, like, plague them like crazy. The two witnesses, Revelation 11, they plague just like the plagues in Egypt. The same thing exactly is going to happen when the Antichrist first manifests, or when the Pharaoh, if you will, first trying to fight God. I mean, God's going to say, hey, you know, that's why they finally killed the two witnesses, because the two witnesses, says the Bible, they tormented them. And they finally killed them. Well, we're trying to get rid of these suckers. They tormented us and tried to stop the system, and did stop the system, the Antichrist system, from becoming, you know, fully developed, because they hindered it all the time. And most people don't see that. And that's kind of what we're going to see now. And with the money, the economic realm and the financial realm, that's what all this is about. That's exactly the pattern.
So that's going along the lines of the same thought. and you talked about the home market and things like that. And Yuki, back in 2017, we were driving around Denver, and she said prophetically, something came over, and she said, you know, in the future, inflation, homes are going to be double, triple, and it's not going back down. Gas, cars. And she said, we're going to start seeing that in the next 4 to 5 years. Inflation, get ready. And I just have had some other words on that myself, and I don't know if the market is going down, that a home is going to be worth $100,000, you're going to scoop it up. I don't know if that's going to happen, or it's just going the opposite, and it's going to be a destruction of the middle class. Things are just going to get more and more expensive, and, you know, this isn't going to change.
Yeah, it's because the system, the one world system is going to, you know, that's how they're going to do their thing. They're going to take control. And so what most people don't realize, is what I've been trying to counter, is that we are going to have our own system, just like Israel, when they came out of Egypt, that money was for their own system, right? Separate from the system of Egypt, no longer slaves. They were no longer, right now we're slaves to the system. If the system takes us down, we go down with it. If the system takes us up, we might go over it. And so it's like the slavery of that is going to be broken, and we're going to have our own system. And so I think Texas is one of the states, like I say, we talked about this already, that's going to be, like they're stopping abortion. They're doing a lot of things. They're just rising up saying, we're not going to follow that system. I think Texas, I'm glad I live in Texas now. And there's going to be other states too that are going to do the same thing. But all this is happening in the separation out of the states. The states like Texas are going to be all around the globe in many different nations. There's going to be states, or I guess you can call them states, cities, provinces, whatever, regions that are going to say, we're not going to battle this thing, just like Texas is doing. And it's going to be successful at, by the way, as far as. And so, so that's where I give people hope from the Lord that, you're not going to be taken out of here. There's no pre-tribulation rapture. I'm sorry. I know that hurts a lot of feelings. I just come right out and say it. I'm not going to mealy-mouth around and say, well, we might not. Just serve Jesus. No, it ain't going to happen. The pre-tribulation rapture is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. God's going to protect us, preserve us, give us wealth, blessings in many different ways. And the image that the pre-tribulation people have given us is totally asinine, donkey backwards. And they are totally messed up in their theology in that area. And so that's what we're trying to do with PGN is God, with the death of Marcus Lamb, as most people know, you know, I love Marcus Lamb. Marcus Lamb was a blessing to me. However, I have to separate out that his own personal love for Jesus with what he was doing and being the head of one of the, you know, TBN is changing some. They're the way they're doing things, but Daystar was really the biggest merchandisers in the globe. And as you know, and maybe you know this, and other people have been listening to me for the last 3 or 4 months, I've been talking very specifically about Daystar Network, very specifically. Some people have gotten mad at me. Why don't you get up? Close friends of mine, some people say, you know, you need to get off the Daystar thing because they're – no, I'm telling you, what the Lord showed me, I'm going to say it, whether anybody, excuse me, likes it or not. And so when he passed away, shockingly, that was because I'd already been talking about, not about him dying, but about I even said this very specifically on the show, that as long as Marcus Lamb is going to be like, it's like David, after David sinned and committed adultery, and Marcus Lamb being a merchandiser and the head of the merchandising scheme there at Daystar, as well as Joni, as long as that's going on, Daystar is never going to be what it's supposed to be. As long as Joni's the same thing, it's all connected. And it's not mainly because of Marcus and Joni, it's because of merchandising. the main element here is that Jesus turned over the tables of the merchandisers, not of a particular person, but a merchandise. We can never forget that. But that was a big sign when he passed away of what, because I've been talking about him specifically, and Joni, and Daystar specifically for the last few months, as you might remember. And so that is another huge sign, Jeff, that what we're talking about tonight is on the move.
Yeah, I know you're waiting to get an exact word on what all that meant, but, I mean, isn't that mind-blowing?
Oh, yes. But very revealing.
It's very sad. And it's, you know, obviously God will use it for purposes, but the media, you know, use that as a complete weapon. You know, look at these clowns. They're not even getting a shot. You know, ha, ha, ha. It's just terrible.
Yeah, and the thing that's opened up, I'm going to make it very clear to people that, like I said, God used Marcus Lehman in my life. I love them. And what I say as far as a prophet has nothing to do with my personal account of their family and concern for the family. But as a prophet, I have to speak very plainly, very clearly, as the fact that I've been warning about this for a long time, saying God's going to deal with the merchandisers in a very heavy way, and very heavy. You know, Daystar has continued to go forward in that. So what happened is they left the door open, not because the vaccine just became the bait that they took, that Joni took, mainly Joni. Marcus was involved in it too, but Joni took the bait on that. That's why it's not over yet. So I'm telling people, it ain't over yet. I love Joni. I don't know Joni personally. I've met her when I was at the studios years ago. I don't know her personally. She didn't really seem to like me that well. And so I've talked about all the things that went on there. She's a very nice, she loves God. She loves Jesus just like I do, but sometimes there's differences. And so, that whole issue is not over with yet. That's what I'm telling people. Marcus was just the sad to say, and like I say, I repeat myself again, was I've been speaking about him and that whole merchandising thing and that the vaccine, the fact that they demonized the vaccine. Not talk truth about it. Talking truth about it would have been great. But they way over-exaggerated things and added a bunch of stuff, did some things that they should have been doing. And because of that, that was the bait that they took because of merchandising. Merchandising was – they didn't stop merchandising. So the bait that they took, the door that God opened up for them, for Joni, was to take the bait on bite the apple on the merchandising. When they started getting into that heavy – like I said, months ago, that opened up the door for them to go down, to be like the thing. And then, you know, a few weeks later, a few months later, shockingly and sadly, Marcus Lamb is dead. Precious brother.
Yeah, I still can't believe that. Well, I know you talked about the car crash, Randy, the three different levels of car wrecks and everything like that. Have you had any revelations what phase we're in at the moment?
Right. You want to talk about that for a second? Yeah,
I
good.
Just didn't.
You know,
thank
you. Yeah, thank you for asking it. Yeah. I like questions. Hey, like interview me. I like to be interviewed. So I think that in case you're new tonight and are recently and haven't listened to us for long, when coronavirus hit America, you know, Trump, our wonderful President Trump was president. I love President Trump. On February the 24th, on a Monday morning, I woke up. And the market had gone down, I think, 1,000 points. And it just, you know, we've had the market go down lately, 1,000 points, you know, or and more. And I didn't wake up one morning going, oh, God, what's going on, right? But that morning on February 24th, coronavirus had hit. Fear was gripping America. And I woke up from my bed kind of like going, God, are you mad at me? How come you're not talking to me about the market, you know? And that's literally what I said. Are you upset with me? Have I done something wrong? Why are you? Because he always talks to me about the market, the world markets, when it's big. every time. And so, so on that Monday, I woke up, I said, God, give me a sign. You know, so I go out running around in my truck, and I pull up to a stoplight, and I see a head-on collision. And a long story short, without all the extra information, long story short, the head-on collision was, I was the first car at the light, so I was right there where I could see and feel everything. And when it hit explosively, a head-on. Boom! It scared me. It shocked me. I looked. I said, "My gosh! I wonder if these people are going to be dead." I'm an old EMT. I used to work at the fire department years ago. So I thought, "Am I going to have to get out of my truck and go over there and perform, you know, emergency medical training? You know, my training on them, you know, like bring them back from the dead or whatever." And I looked at it. I said, "Oh my gosh! The smoke. Well, one guy got out of his car. He got out and looked around. The other guy was ticked off. You could tell. It looked like a Spanish man. He like turned gray. He was so mad." And they got out, walked around, and I looked at it, and all it was a fender bender from the front fender were bent, and that's all I could see, you know, by looking at it. And I thought, man, I can't believe that's all that was wrong with that. That sounded so horrible. It just, if I had a front row seat, it just scared me. I mean, I just like was in shock. And so long story short, the interpretation of that was as soon as that happened to me, the Spirit of God, just like I'm talking to you on the inside of me, said, sign number one, just like that. And so what I did was I said, sign number one. I didn't even know what it meant, Jeff. I did not know. Sign number one? I texted to Julie. I got the proof on it because I texted Julie at that very moment. I said, hey, I just saw this accident, and God says sign number one. I'm going, I don't know what it's for, but sign number one or something. Long story short, I pull up to Walmart. As I'm going through the parking lot, I look up, and I see the big blue sign that says market, you know, like for the where you go buy groceries, part of Walmart. I looked up in a big blue, painted blue. I even took a picture of it. Market. And the Lord says, the sign I just showed you with the head-on collision, it's about the market. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is going to have a head-on collision. Well, that day, long story short, from that day on, it's documented in history now, the market went from February the 24th on a Monday down solid for 1 month. Everything Trump had gains in the market went completely down to where Obama had it, about 19,000. And so that was a head-on collision. And it was shocking. It was like, oh, my God. But I told people, I said, it's going to look bad. You're going to feel shocked by what's going to happen to the market. But it's not going to be as bad as it appeared to be, as it seemed to be. And so on March, the whatever day it was, I don't remember exactly, when Trump brought up hydroxychloroquine on TV that night, I sat there with Julie, we were watching, right? I said, hydroxychloroquine. I didn't know what that was, but I felt the fear break off of me. So I went on the show that night. This is all on the show, documented on the show. And I said, told the people that night, I said, something's broke. It's changed. Everything's turned, you know, things are turning around. And that very day, from that very day, the next 3 days, the market went up at a historical 3-day high. And then from that point on, just went. So we had a complete V in the market. And there's so much information, but what happened was, well, God started showing me that the COVID was going to be the thing that was going to begin to bring the merchandisers down. And because how is going to – he said it's going to come in three levels. And so I talked it on the show many, many times that we're going to see three levels, coronavirus one, coronavirus two, and then Joe Biden number three. And so when Joe Biden became president, you know, now we're in the third phase of that. And so, you know, so when Marcus Lamb got taken out, to me, that was like a signal to me, because as a prophet, I got information about all that and speaking about him specifically and Daystar specifically the last few months, as everyone here knows, and how God's going to judge it and take it down. And everybody's like going, I can't take that down. It's a big, big network. That's not going down. I said, that's what I'm hearing. So take it or leave it. And that's what I've told people many times, as Jeff knows, many people know. And so when Marcus Lamb got taken out, shockingly out of the blue, you know, those that third phase, I think, Jeff, is maybe why you're bringing it up. I'm not sure exactly, but we're going to start to see that develop. What am I missing? What am I leaving out? Help me out.
I think that's exactly right. As I recall, that each level that you experienced was more and more frightening, but it wasn't you physically hurt, or you know, we were removed from it, right? There's any kind of car crash is startling. There's different degrees of it, speeds and everything, but hey, you walk away free of scratches and dents, and hey, you know, you're yourself, and the car might be totaled, but everything's fine. And he kind of said that it would be progressing more and more, and on the third version of this, it's going to be, you know, the scariest, and then it'll, you know, again, we'll walk away fine, and then it'll be over.
Right. Well, the third version, a lot of the third version that I'm thinking of that I've talked about many times is that God was going to use the coronavirus to, and that's when the church, kind of all the churches closed down. You know, America kind of closed down. A lot of people around the globe closed down. What happened? The church closed down. And a lot of money quit coming in, a lot of it. And so the Lord said, there you go, Randy. It's like I told you, phase number one. And then the second part of corona, which I'm not sure exactly where that was exactly. I get the information. I have it right in front of me. But anyway, so we're moving through that. And what the point of this all is it was about merchandising, not about the economy going down as much as it was about how God was going to take down the merchandisers. That was the whole point of the three phases, was taking down the merchandisers. Okay, and then that's at that level. So there you go.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, I was about the merchandise.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information, and to nutshell it, like we're doing tonight, is good for people who kind of, you know, haven't really understood it and maybe gotten little bits and pieces of it. But yeah, the whole thing, the three phases, was about taking down the merchandisers, you know, which the people, ministries, and as you know, we've talked about this for especially the last 2 years a lot, and mainly the last 10 years, but talking about it to the point to where I said, I've been telling people for a while, God's going to judge them eventually, which nobody believed it. Most people didn't believe it. You know, they just thought I had my mantle in a wad. Oh, he's got his mantle in a wad. He'll be over it in a few years. No, when the Lord says something. So that three-phase thing that began to happen when corona hit, when the Lord showed me that, and people sending me texts. I can't really read them right now. Thank you for that. So phase three, it's all about taking down the merchandisers, and that's why this thing with, which I've talked very specifically about Daystar and Marcus and Joni Lamb, very specifically, even though I love them, I have to tell, as a prophet, I have to say what God has told me, the judgment coming down on people merchandising the gospel of Jesus Christ, how it's affected the church, how it's opened up the door for what we're going through now and what we're going to go through in the future. The church is the government of God in the earth. Well, the government of God, the church, has been merchandising the very person, selling out, if you will, the very person that is supposed to be, you know, worshiping and giving away. They've been selling him, and they've justified it with all the different reasons. That's the way we raise money and all this stuff. But God told me, he said, it's an abomination to me, Randy. Now, I need you to tell my people and tell them on a regular basis. So, as you know, we've been doing that. All right. I hope that makes a little more sense.
You know, that makes a lot more sense, Randy. Because I think in my head I was almost trying to say, oh, yeah, it's the first COVID, it's the Delta variant, it's the MoronaCon or whatever we're on now. And, you know, it's the three phases, and this will be the last one, but that makes more sense. It was more three phases of the merchandising judgments almost, is what you're saying.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I said phase number one would be COVID, the judgment from COVID, which shut down the churches, as we all know. We kind of adjusted from that. Phase two, I don't really know what phase two is. It's going to have something to do with it. But phase three, we've talked about being Biden. Now, watch what Biden's been doing with trying to push, you know, all the things he's doing, how he's changing everything. And believe me, it's going to come after the church, y'all. It's going to come after the church. But to those who have been merchandising, it's really going to – they will go down. The death of Marcus Lamb, sad as it is, was a picture of how they're going to go down in a bad way. Those who are not merchandising the gospel like PGN, and we're doing what Jesus says and giving away the gospel and sharing and not selling anything, we give, and just believe God to take care of business, we are going to be hyper-blessed, y'all. I'm telling you, get ready. We are about to be blessed like you've never seen. We're going to find ourselves being broadcasting around the globe, all kinds of ways that it's going to shock everybody that we came from nothing only because we did what Jesus said, what God told me in the very beginning. We start PG and he said, never merchandise, Randy. Never merchandise. Don't even appear to be merchandising Jesus or the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't ever do it. And I'll bless you beyond anybody I've ever blessed before. So that was kind of hard to believe at the time, you know. But friend, with the signs that's going on recently and the words we've been given, maybe you've got a little bit more faith, maybe, some of you. I know I do.
Yeah, that helps me. That helps clear some things up and look at the timeline. Visibly, just in the city where we live, everywhere we go, there's just boarded up churches. I could count 10 of them. And they're getting to the point where some of them, they're just covering them with graffiti. There's people breaking into them, squatting in them. I mean, there's literally visibly throughout the city churches that just boarded up, didn't make it.
Wow. Well, you know, one of your friends that you've ministered, you've been to, you and Yuki have gone to his church, Lauren, he died, right?
Lauren Sanford died?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
I think so. You might Google it real quick. You might confirm it with a Google, but I think somebody told me that
Mike,
the other night
Mike
on the show.
Mike said he passed away. That's right.
Okay.
Right,
oh, I didn't know you didn't know that. Yeah, because you had been to his church, and I knew his. I've been to one of his father's meetings years ago. He's a great teacher on certain things, but yeah, Lauren died of COVID.
Oh wow! And we went to his service, and he's going to be criticized.
You
for
did.
That. They let people.
Yeah.
Well, when it was all going on, I think. Peak COVID, we could do whatever we want, no mask. I mean, obviously we loved it, but he's going to be criticized for that,
Yeah, I don't know where Lauren was at on all that stuff, but I know that you guys had gone to his ministry there a few times. And he passed away from COVID, I believe. I'm pretty sure they said he passed away from COVID. Sad, man. So, yep. Okay, I'm going to try to read some text real quick while you're doing whatever you're doing. Yes, that was our friend. Okay. Well, you told Jeff, not me, Alan. I didn't tell Jeff. Jeff gave me the name. He said his name. Yeah. You're not listening very closely. With Go Big, Preachers was going to pass. Yep, Preacher's going to pass. I'm pretty sure I said the name, too. Now, if you'd have told me the name, I would have said. You have to give the full name. Yeah, full name. If somebody gives me the full name, I tell them. If they don't give me the full name, I don't tell them. Yeah, so anyway, that's that on that. But anyway, Jeff, you still there? All right. Okay, there you go. Now you're back on.
Hey, we're back.
Back
yeah, that's we had no idea, but that's incredibly sad. I know his son was filling in, being a pastor sometimes, so hopefully the church is still going. His son is a preacher now, but I have to find out.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that either until somebody mentioned me the other night on the show. They said there's been several people that have been leaders that have died of COVID, so I don't know where he was at on the COVID thing. But I know Marcus and Joni, they were definitely – I'm not a vaccine person either. But I haven't demonized the vaccine, as most everybody knows. And they pretty well demonized it. And a lot of people have believed a lot of their stuff, and I think a lot of it has been it's been exaggerated. And anyway, even whatever, it's like, you know, I shared very specifically that in months ago that they took the bait on that. I said specifically months ago, Joni took the bait on that. And the fact that they're opened up to that, I know Marcus Lamb, they started getting shut off from, you know, a bunch of things, which, you know, it's going to start happening, but, caused some real problems for him. And then he gets COVID and dies. That was really shockingly and sad to talk about.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to go down that whole rabbit hole. Is it really COVID or how people get counted? But that's really sad. So good. I'm glad you shared that with us. We'll have to go by the church and report what's going on.
Yeah. And to me, I've talked about somebody the other day on the show. I think it was Lisa from Pennsylvania. She's kind of a non-vaxxer person, you know, and you can be a non-vaxxer person. I'll still be a friend. It's not like I'm against people that are dead. I just say I have to give the word of the Lord, you know, and God showed me that that was the bait that they took, was going to open up the door for them to be, you know, I said taken out. I gave that word, taken out. I didn't say Marcus is going to be taken out. I just said Daystar. And whether – it's not that I disagree with everything and how they count and how they don't count. The point is that what happened is that they took the bait on that and got into that when, without God's approval, it was designed to open up the door for them to be taken down. And whether you agree with vax or non-vax, it doesn't even make any that's not even the issue. The issue is whether – you know, God's a vaxxer or a non-vaxxer, or whether what the government's doing right or is wrong. It doesn't even make any difference with what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that that's what God said was going to happen. It's not like I'm saying God's a non-vaxxer or a vaxxer. I'm not saying any of that. That had nothing to do with any opinions about vaccination. It was the word of the Lord, just like Biden. People thought I was a Biden person because I gave the word of the Lord about, you know, about Biden and talked about Trump. Trump's not going to win any of his, you know, his lawsuits and, you know, and, you know, those were big words. Those were crazy words, you know. And so it's the same thing. They all think, you don't believe in the vaccination stuff and all the information. I said, it's not even really about whether I believe it or not. It has nothing to do with it, actually. And I told Lisa, I said, I don't even want to talk about that because I'm not sitting here saying I'm a for or against any of it. I'm just saying it's the door that God used. Period. And that doesn't make any sense to me, but God doesn't always make sense. You know, when God moves sovereignly, he decides he's going to do something. He does it whether anybody agrees with it, whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. So that's why the word of the Lord is so important to be spoken, because before it happens, way before it happens, so when it happens, people go, yeah, we know somebody that said that, some prophet said that, yeah. Well, why did that happen? We want to understand everything. You're not going to understand any of it. The word of the Lord is the word of the Lord.
Well, that brings some clarity for me. So you, part of this, you're talking about merchandising judgment, but it's also people declaring and decreeing words that are not of God, and who's really moving in the spirit and who's obeying God.
Right. What they get caught up into is whether Trump should have been president because he had all the right answers. He was best for America. That didn't make a hill of beans to God. When God says that's it, it's sovereign, he's going down, then I have to declare that and decree that because that's what God says, not because even I voted for Trump, you know, but people still, as you might know, highly criticized me. You know, even some of my own PGN friends were, you know, not very happy with me, but they still love me. Thank God for that. But the same thing with what's going on with the COVID and the vaccine. It's not that I'm on either side. You know, it doesn't even make any difference what side anybody's on. God is using that and use it in Daystar Networks. God kind of sounds crazy and it sounds rough. I don't know how are people going to take this, but I gave this all this information a couple of months ago, maybe 3 months ago, that Joni took the bait on that, and whether anything she says is true or not true, it doesn't even make any difference. It's the bait. They took it and it set them up, and it's going to, you know, it's not over with yet. That's the sad part. It ain't over yet. And it's not about the data and information, whether exaggerated or not, about the vaccine. It's about merchandising. That's the root of what's going to take them down, like I've prophesied for the last, you know, heavy for the last 2 years. Hope that's a little clearer.
No, thank you. That's a lot of clarity. And it seems like you have been, you know, listening forever. You've been prophesying all different types of things, and a lot of it's coming back to memory, but maybe even these next few months and going forward, things are coming to pass that you might have prophesied even a year ago. And some of these prophecies are kind of converging together.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. They're converging together, and here's the pattern behind that. Because we need a pattern for it biblically, for it to be, you know, then to be exact information and everything. But the pattern goes back right back to Egypt and Israel when God brought them out. How many plagues did it take to bring Israel out and to destroy the power of Egypt in the eyes of even the Egyptians? 10. It took 10 plagues. It took 10 plagues that helped convince Israel. Not 5, not 3, 10. There was a reason for that. And just like this, Biden was I don't want to call him a plague. But I'm saying that it's one of the signs that nobody wanted to hear, like a plague. You know? Nobody wanted to hear Biden. They all went, oh, that's a plague. I say, no, I'm not saying it's a plague. But the fact that we gave information toward that, you know, very strongly, and it came to pass, and it started happening, and then never went back to the Trump thing, and Trump threatened constantly. We said, and that's not going to happen. Trump's going to threaten. It's not going to happen. He's not getting back in government. Forget it. It's not going to happen. It's not God's will. And so that was like one major word, you know, like a plague. You know, like or the measure of an event that's like the plague in Egypt. It's the measuring of an event. Like we gave a word about Biden. Nobody else did that. You know what God was trying to say? Hey, listen to what this prophet's saying. And then now we're doing this thing with COVID and talking about Daystar and then Marcus Lamb dying. You know, I mean, in a sense, that's a world event, right? Because it's big. We talked about it, and then we didn't say he was going to die, but I said, you know, God's never going to bless him with favor again because of what happened with David, what happened with Moses. I compared him to that, you know, just a few, even before, long before he went to the hospital, but, you know, was sick, and talked about all that. And believe me, Jeff, most people don't realize it, but they start never keeps up with what we do. Right? They'll be listening to this, you know, and they kept up with all that. And believe me, you know, they kept up with all of it. They have people who've watched us and listened to us for a long time because Marcus and I connected back in the 90s. And so when people started talking, you know, about – anyway, it didn't make any difference. But so in a sense, as far as the merchandising word and God bringing down the merchandising thing, which is a big thing, it's a global thing because the whole body of Christ does it, and it's just normal for the body of Christ to do it. And God says it's not normal, and I'm gonna send my prophet to plague that system and to get a whip out and start driving out the money changers, which has been, you know, part of my job. And so in doing that, that's kind of like, so it's going to take, and my point with this is the pattern is it took 10. So how many of these is it going to take for the transition to happen? I don't know exactly, just like God didn't tell Moses it's going to take 10. God hasn't told me how many it's going to take, but it's going to take a few major events. As we prophesy ahead of time, you know, whatever level that things are going to happen, things are going to pass, and then that we watch them happen, as that begins to trickle in and happen, then people go, wow, I mean, I think he said something like that is going to happen. Like, they're going to go down. Like, Marcus Lamb can't even, you know, he's not supposed to be in, you know, God's not going to favor him anymore, and blah, 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 and they're going down. We said that many times about Daystar. They think I'm just being mean to Daystar, like I got a vendetta against Daystar. It's the same thing they said about Trump. You know, you don't like Trump anymore. It had nothing to do with that at all. And there's going to be more to come. So get ready, y'all, for more words to happen. Big words, global words, market words, like the market thing that happened February 25th. That was a big word. That was a big word. That was kind of like a big measure, because it was a global market thing that happened. And God told us, you know, he's going to be head on collision in the market. It happened that very day. Went on for a month and then told us when it turned around. You know, that's God. That's Randy doesn't know anything. So that's like the 10 plagues. There's going to be some major events that God's going to speak through us. And when they come to pass, people are going to think, yeah, I think somebody said something about that. To build their faith in Jesus. Get their faith back on God instead of on what preachers say. Instead, go back to what the Word of God says. Anyway, that's kind of that, but.
Oh, Randy, can we get just some general prayer from you?
No. How can you jump from this to general prayer, my brother? My gosh. I'm just playing. You know,
it was kind of a joke, too.
I know. It was very funny. Very good. You're batting
like
a thousand tonight.
Dry sense of humor. Kind of like people going, this big old story is like, well, how about we get some food?
Yeah, it's kind of like when I had that dream about the Antichrist being unveiled, and I got this big sword, and it's swinging back and forth, you know. Dream was so intense. It was like a casket, you know, and the casket was a wooden casket, you know, about to be opened up, and all of a sudden, I'm on the other side of the casket, and this is intense. I got this sword, and I'm swinging this sword back and forth, the right and left, and I'm hearing demons cry, which I've never heard demons cry before. Wah! I mean, they were just screaming. Like, I didn't see any demons, but I could hear them screaming as I, you know, swung the sword back and forth. And then all of a sudden, you know, Satan shows up at the window, you know, and looking in the window. And I'm going like, my God, this is amazing. And then I'm kind of waking, I'm freaking out, I'm intense, you know, and the Lord very gently says, oh, yeah, Randy, and his hair is red. Just kind of like that, like, you know, can we have some general prayer?
You know what the kids say now? And the Antichrist, he was swinging his sword, and there's a cool story, bro.
Cool story.
That's what all the kids you get in this big animated story. You'd mean so much to you going on and on. Cool story, bro.
Cool story. Oh, my God. That was.
I believe every word. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know. Yeah. I love it all. Yeah, this is fun. I love this stuff. I like to play. You know, I'm a big. This is really cool. What a great night this has been, man. We came on tonight with Jennifer asking about, aren't you, somebody said you might be talking about the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Going, yeah.
That was the first call.
Yeah. I know it. Going,
well,
this is a sign of a hot time tonight.
So we're one of those people is the 11-11 everywhere, right? The phenomenon. You don't look at the clock all day. 11-11, 11-11. And then I told Yuki, get in here. It's Romans 11-11. That makes a lot of sense. And then we've been saying that just out of nowhere, you know, Jews to jealousy, Jews and Gentiles, and caught up on that statement and word, and we had no clue what it meant. We were just kind of saying it. And then they're like 11-11, wow. And then here's Randy with putting the dots together. And then I was kind of, you know, as the tournament was going, I was really kind of thinking of my own thoughts. I can't fully express here how this is all connecting, and certainly thinking about the Antichrist. First call comes on talking about the Antichrist, and then there's some of these other prophecies that you've been going on, and it's all kind of just intermingling, and I don't think we have all the revelations on it. It's just a nice little marinade to, you know, mix up a nice gumbo,
yeah.
Prophecy gumbo.
But it's kosher, though. There's no shrimp in it.
Yeah. No.
Gumbo has shrimp. I don't even know what gumbo has in it, actually.
Shrimp and sausage. So I guess
okay, so we can't, kosher. Yeah, so it's just, so I was just straightening you out really quick in case anybody gets the wrong idea. We're talking about kosher gumbo. Oh, God. That is funny.
You'd have to have
that is so cool, man. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, isn't that kind of what's going to happen? Isn't the Antichrist going to throw some sausage in there and try to take over and be God? That's going to act throwing sausage, you know, in the Jewish kosher realm. You said you're the who? You're the Messiah? You're God? Oh, that's sausage. We can't have that in the temple. So that's what happens. He comes up and he starts saying he's God, which they don't believe that. You know, they don't believe a man can be God. So they right away reject him for that. You know, and that's when the Jews, you know, turned on him and started realizing, oh, man, who is this bad guy? Kind of like sausage, man. Sausage in my kosher gumbo.
Or maybe jambalaya. You don't have to put shrimp in there.
That jambalaya, that means they're going to call him a liar. You are a liar, jambalaya. Your jumbo is a liar. Be God, but God. That's what the Jews are going to tell him. You're a liar, jambalaya.
Well, I'll never forget. Tonight was the night we came up with the prophecy Jesus gumbo. So I'm going to credit that to you.
Oh yeah, right. Don't blame that on me, man. That's all your fault. This has been documented. You can't say stuff like
you
that because it's written.
You got to edit that out.
Yeah, there you go. As they say in the Bible, it has been written. It is written. That's what Jesus told Satan at the wilderness. You know, when he tempted him, he said, "It is written." Well, this is written. It's been documented. So blame that all on Jeff. Although, all right.
I'll give you an update on the Lauren Sanford church and everything, and we'll just keep believing God that coming into 2022 here, there's going to be a lot of interesting things. You know, we'll continue dissecting here on PGN, prophesying, and can't wait for the next words we're getting on all this stuff.
I know, me either. I'm like going, God, what's next? I know. I'm just waiting for him to, you know, give me permission to make it public, you know. Like, you know, I don't even know the strategy, you know. All I know is that he just explained to everybody tonight how that, you know, the first person at PGN that texted me and said, you know, and then I shared your story that happened with you, and I was totally shocked by that, as you know. I was totally shocked. And so what's next? I don't know, but it's getting crazy, and I love it. I think PGN people, we're born for this stuff, man. We're born for this. Give me that jambalaya, that jumbo-haya. We'll call it jumbo-haya. It's going to be jumbo, but it's going to be haya jumbo, like high, you know, haya, the Lord Most High.
Yeah, you know, a different type of moving in the spirit to just put all this stuff together. And the beauty of the PGN platform is you'll let us get on here. We can all brainstorm, express our crazy ideas, and try to get somewhere with it.
Try to? Yeah, that's right. Sometimes we do. I'm not sure if we always make it or not, but we get pretty dead good close, that's for sure.
I think we're definitely – I think we're at the cutting edge, the forefront.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that word. Definitely like that word. Awesome, man. I think you're prophesying. I don't think you're prophesying. I think you're prophesying. Some of that
this is
prophesying
a cutting edge
Jumbahayan.
You know, I wonder, this taking it a little further, but I've been meaning to go back to the date that Facebook announced the metaverse. And I wanted to see if there's anything on the PGN show what you were talking about, or if that date was significant, because that's, I think, a big part of the new system that's coming in and people, you know, downloading their brains into this virtual reality and completely removing themselves from the real world and transacting in this virtual reality, shopping, everything will be done in this new world, and how far people are going to go with that, where, you know, you'd be walking around and everybody's got, you know, their contacts in or glasses and they're downloading this virtual reality. And then the people left in the real world, you know, might feel left out of place. Like, what's going on? Do people go outside anymore? That could, yeah, hopefully we'll get some words on that, but really going down the research on the metaverse. And what that means and where it's going. And more companies are going to announce, they're going to plug into it. It's not just Facebook. It's going to be platform agnostic. And they're already saying that by 2040, you'll be able to download, you know, your actual brain into this metaverse.
I did that yesterday. What are you talking about, 2040, man? I just...
You're just...
4 gigabytes worth, or 5. I can't remember. It's a lot.
It barely.
Right? I bet you won't have that many. You probably won't have 4 or 5. You probably have like.
No.
No, you probably have a 10 or 20. Seriously. But, yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, it's happening, man. It's our world is changing, and we're going to get to witness it and be a part of it. That's what's so cool about it, the whole thing. It's not just – I just don't want to be – I don't mind witnessing it, like playing football game, you know, like the, you know, the finals, you know, in a game or whatever. But I want to be down there playing the game. I think that's what my thing is. You know, I'm called to play the game, not, you know, watching is cool. Watching, being there to watch it is amazing. But being down there playing, man, that's where it's at. And that's what I think PGN is going to be. I think we're going to be, because we've been obeying God and doing what God says about not merchandising. And because of that, we have, you know, we've kept our favor. God gave us favor, and we've kept it. And that favor is starting to increase and multiply as we get prophetic words and information. And those who keep up with us know what you're talking about is right. You know, we're on the cutting edge, man. It's not because Randy knows anything or Jeff knows anything. It's because God's just doing it. We just chose to say, okay, don't merchandise. That all I got to do is don't merchandise. Yeah, and just give away everything that I share. When I share with things, you give it away. Don't sell anything. Freely I receive, freely I give. And he said, if you'll do that, I will bless you abundantly. I didn't even know what that meant, but I think we're starting to see maybe a little picture of it. And it's pretty cool. That's all I can say.
You know, Randy, I'm still waiting for another ministry. I do a lot of research and looking for other ministries. I'm waiting for somebody else to say that. Such beautiful words. You know, we will not merchandise. We do not do that. This is the way it's set up. But I just haven't found – I'd love for somebody on the show to tell me someone else, but I've not found someone making that statement.
Seriously. That is sad.
You know, people might, like, they might not be overly zealous about, hey, Venmo, Cash App, you know, send me the money. They might, you know, nonchalantly, but just making a statement, this is the mission of the ministry, to not do this. We don't, you know,
sell the T-shirts and books, yeah. and we don't do this, we don't do that. Yeah. I haven't heard anyone saying that specifically. You know, they're talking about other things, but I feel like that's a real touchy subject, scary subject.
It's very touchy. Yeah, and the reason that they've tried to hide us, you know, we're in the mainstream of the prophetic, you know, with the Biden thing happen, and then, you know, several other things, the market, that we're known, you know, but what they do is they've kept us quiet because of the very thing that we're talking about. Because if we get on there, if all of a sudden they start saying, hey, Chandler got the, God used Chandler, God spoke to Chandler, God spoke, they know I'm going to get on there and I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to say, you know, I'm going to tell them what we do. You know, not ugly, not mean, just say, this is what God says. And they know I'm going to say that. They know where I stand. These people know me. They know where I'm at. They know what's going on, exactly what's going on, including Daystar Network and TBN and Fox News. And they've, you know, Mike Huckabee got me known about around with Fox News because, you know, he tells the story of how he got broken free from fear and the first person that prophesied to him, you know, about the political arena and how God was going to use him to shepherd the nation and, you know, in the president's situation and all that. I mean, you know, I was the one who did all that as far as the Lord, you know, using me. And so he's pumped our name around, you know, and plus others. He's just one of many. And so this is how God's doing this, man. But they keep us quiet because of that very thing, like you're saying, it's very sensitive. Because that's the way the church has raised its money, and it's totally not God at all. And so they know that where I'm at on all that. Therefore, they're not going to be saying watch him or listen to him. They listen, they watch, but they're not going to let anybody else know about it, you know. And I can't blame them, I guess. If I had a ministry that was based on merchandising and somebody like me came along and started talking about what an abomination it is, and I'm a prophet and I'm getting words from God on a, you know, pretty regular basis, I wouldn't tell them either. So, but they don't understand what's about to happen. What's happening is the very rejection, because they are rejecting me and rejecting what God's called us to do here, the fact that they're rejecting it is what's bringing it to the forefront. It's the very opposite of what they thought would happen. And so we are now more in the forefront than ever before, because still hidden, but on the forefront of that, even further made manifest because of the words God's been giving us, man. And how contradictory it's been. Oh, you can't be saying Daystar Network's going to go down. You can't talk about Marcus and Johnny like that. You know, you're just wrong. I go, it has nothing to do with me. I have nothing. It's not a personal opinion or personal feelings, a vendetta, nothing. I ain't got my medal on the wad. Sorry. That's just what's going to happen. It doesn't make any sense. But the word of the Lord sometimes doesn't make any sense. And so the fact they've rejected it, like the Bible says that when talking about Christ, the very cornerstone, they rejected the very cornerstone, and then he became the head, you know, and that's what God's doing at PGN, that we've been rejected, and God's, in a sense, we're the cornerstone of the prophetic movement, and you know what God's going to do? Through all that rejection, he's going to make us the head as far as under Christ, you know, and that's all in the makings right now. Marcus Lamb was the whole thing, and the way we talk about that, and the way we ministered about that, and they all know about it. Everybody knows about it. Believe me, dude, they are shaking in their boots right now, going, our merchandising is going to end in one day. They're going to say, you know, anyway, it all fell. And it is. It's going to fall. And it didn't have to be that way.
You know, I don't know what came to mind, but, you know, you hear these stories. You know, it really wasn't Thomas Edison who discovered, you know, how to have a light bulb, or people that have gone down in history, they didn't have the ability to document or be in the history books, the right connections with the university or whatever might have happened to be the person of history that has discovered things, been in the forefront, cutting edge. And part of your ministry, it wasn't at a church. It wasn't in, you know, different formats. You did the Blog Talk Radio, and that's what you're called to do. And it had to be methodically documented. We were just joking around, the jambalaya thing, you know, hey, it's documented. Everything is documented. So
if people want to debate, hey, this is not this is my idea, or, you know, we're at the forefront of this, or we're the real move of God here. Hey, no, this is all documented. It's a small group of people that have all been listening as well. And this is, you know, how the revolution is documented. So I think that's pretty special that of all the formats that you've been having a blog talk radio show, you know, that's really amazing. The plan designed by God there to plan this out.
I love the way you said that. It's so cool. That's right. And Blog Talk is like a lower level, you know, if you will, you know, among all the other, you know, and yet that's where we've been and that's where God has had us and said, just be faithful, you know, and do what I say. Don't merchandise. Just a simple, simple thing. Don't merchandise. What's that mean? That means give everything away I get. And the more you give away, Randy, the more you break the bread and give it away, the more it's going to multiply, the more it's going to increase. And that's exactly what's happened. You know, prophetically, revelation of the Word of God. We're moving into this thing now, but Romans 11:11. That's one of the new things, one of the new theories that we're going to be, as God gives it, like we talked about merchandising. We're about to enter into a phase with Romans 11:11, and as God gives it to me, I'll share it, and as He puts it together for me, you know, I try my best to share it as clearly as possible so people understand what's really being said, and that also is a sign. A major sign. And when all that starts coming to pass, as we're going to explain it and say it, dude, I mean, you know, when I saw this about, what, a month ago, a few weeks ago, I can't remember exactly what happened. I mean, boom, Romans 11:11. God starts speaking about the grafting in, the grafting in, the grafting in. And I've heard that all my life, you know. And, dude, when this started being downloaded in my spirit, I was just like going, like, oh, my God. It was mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Which is, you know, listen to this, man. This is amazing. Woo! Dear God, I don't even know if I can say that right now or not. Maybe I shouldn't say that. That's just like, I think I'm going to save that. Wow, that was a heavy download right there. My God. Oh, dear Jesus. Dear Jesus. Okay, let me go ahead and try to say this the best I can. Thank you for being patient with me, you guys. One of the things that we know, this is about an end time thing and about a timing thing with the end of the end times, right? This is what I'm about to share with you. The scripture talks about that we know when Christ is about to return, because Gentiles will have, you know, provoke the Jews to jealousy, and then the Jews start coming, and then the Jews come in, right? In other words, the harvest for the Gentiles is kind of like, you know, I don't know about being over, but been fulfilled. And when that's fulfilled, then the next phase is, you know, the Jewish thing as far as natural Israel starts coming in to become part of spiritual Israel with the Gentiles and other Jews who have come to Christ. That's another major sign of the end of the end times. So that's really where this message is going, is that. It's like what the Gentiles really are, what's going on, and the fulfillment of the Gentiles, meaning that the revelation I'm going to be sharing here in the next, you know, few weeks and months is a prophetic revelation confirming that fulfillment of the Gentiles come. That's saying Christ is, the coming of Christ is next. I mean, like right here, like right now type thing. Dude, that just hit me just now. I just kind of got that, like, oh, my God, I never put that together. So as we give revelation away and not sell it, you know, God, it never ends. The revelation never ends. And the high level, talk when I was kidding about jumbo, instead of jambalaya, like a lion, I can call that lion, like jambalaya, jumbo high-end. What we've been getting is jumbo at a higher level, you know, because we've given it away. Therefore, God has given us the pure, the high level of purity and the high level of words and information of what's really going to go on. And not what, oh, I think this ought to go on, but it doesn't go on because it's not God's will. What are we doing? We're prophesying what God's going to do, even with my feelings and emotions. Like, I love Marcus Lamb. I'm not against Marcus Lamb, and I had nothing to do with any of that. But God said, and when God says, and you do what God says, that's the high, that's the jambahaya. So there you go, brother. Your word's coming to pass already. Jambahaya.
Well, you talk about that, like people got to work up to, you know, the milk and then the meat of the word. Jambalaya, that's that good, good, thick word.
Yeah. That's from the Most High, Jambahaya. Get some of that. I even like the way that sounds, Jambahaya. What does that sound? What language does that sound like? Jambahaya.
I'm just kidding. Hebrew, we don't even know it.
I don't know, but it's cool, whatever it is. It's a good mix, that's for sure, and it's definitely kosher, so we're good. All right, y'all. We just kind of took off tonight and went, so what else we all want to go before I move on? Anything in general? What in general can
that's
we
where my,
for?
That's where my mind's going tonight, Randy, is – I think you said it best just a second ago that the Gentiles, and it could be a number of systems, right? Rising up in politics, rising up in business, rising up in the world arena in any fashion. And it has to do with God's kingdom. You know, that's the sign of a milestone, a mile marker of what's going on. And you're kind of, you know, getting into some new prophecies, you know, we'll watch for that. And that's a great analogy, you know, to really a sign and wonder to show, you know, Jewish community, you know, what the cornerstone that was rejected is really doing, that this is real. There's a real Holy Spirit, there's a real spiritual power. And people are operating in it, and it's not just words and ideas in a book, that a movement is moving and people can go and worship and get hit with the Holy Spirit anywhere public, and signs and wonders are kind of like a new wine anointing or is hitting that will, you know, bring all kinds of people thought they could never be saved, all kinds of deliverance, maybe a higher level. And, you know, you're kind of going on this track right now because there's something to look forward to, you know, a new era coming upon us.
Right. We are in the new era now. That's for sure. And so what God used the prophet for, and the prophetic reason PGN is so important, is not only do we have not merchandise, which has been the main, it kind of like Samson with Samson. When God told Samson, basically, take an Nazarite vow, and if you don't cut your hair, plus the other thing, the main thing was cutting hair. When he cut his hair, that's when power, right? So it's kind of a similar thing. I like to use Samson in a sense because as long as Samson cut his hair, you know, he might have, you know, I don't know what else he did that was not all that great, but as long as he did that one thing, like the Lord says to me, in a sense, Randy, no merchandise. And you'll walk in the power, you walk in the blessing. You're going to walk in the authority. So that's why every devil in hell, and that Delilah spirit is coming after me about that. That's why Delilah doesn't like me not yielding to her, and not bowing down to her and saying, you know, I'm not going to tell you, you know, I mean, we're not going to compromise. We're going to keep saying what God says. And not do the merchandising. And so, I mean, I've had everybody, I can't even tell who their names are, but not PGM people so much, but people that are close to me saying, you know, you need to quit talking about that merchandise thing because they're not going to stop doing it anyway. That's what they told me exactly, almost verbatim. You need to quit talking about that so much because you know what? They're not going to stop doing it anyway. And I said, you know what? I'm not talking about it because they're going to stop doing it. I'm talking about it because God said, talk about it. And now I think everybody after Marcus Lamb is starting to see why we've talked about it so much, because that was kind of the beginning of the peak of a sign. It's a sign in the major Christian realm of a merchandiser, the head merchandiser of the head merchandiser, you know, network. boom, sad as it is and all that. And I'm just being real blunt and just saying what's happening. He also committed adultery. You know, he got forgiven. He went on. He had a heart after God. He was a wonderful man. But the fact that the adultery was mixed in with all that stuff was a sign that what it's opened up the body of Christ to, the spiritual adultery, spiritual fornication, selling yourselves out for money, basically. And so I know that's a hard thing for some people to swallow, because most people listening to me right now buy their merchandise off. They're buying from the whore, the pimps all the time. They call them preachers that sell stuff. I call them pimps now, pimping Jesus. And as long as they're doing it, that's what I'm going to call them, because that's what God's telling me. And so, and got the head pimp, you know, Marcus and Joni, they have all these people underneath them that running their organization, selling Jesus. That's where they make their money. Just like a bunch of prostitutes. The pimp thing, the head pimp, if you will, in a spiritual sense, not as a human, natural guy who loved Jesus. I'm talking about totally spiritually as a prophet. The head pimp in this particular network was taken out. You know, that's very, you know, people are saying, oh, you shouldn't be talking bad. He just died. I know I shouldn't be. In my flesh, I'm going, like, I shouldn't be talking about that. You know what? As a prophet, if I don't speak it, God will deal with me. And so I loved him. He was a man of God in many ways, but he was a merchandiser. We've talked about it. I'm not going to compromise the message of Jesus because of a bunch of feely feelings out there. You shouldn't be sorry. You should be more sensitive. Yeah, I'm going to be sensitive to God and what God tells me to do the best I can, and not be sensitive to people. God told me don't be a man pleaser, and I'll bless you. So sorry, all of you that are offended that I'm even bringing this up, but you might as well just get used to it. That or just pray for me, and I'll probably get worse, or just move on. If you need to move on, it's fine. We love you. You know, you're not bound here. You don't have to listen or be a part of PGN. I'm glad you are, but if you don't want to be, move on, because I'm not going to change. I'm going to keep doing what God tells me by the grace of God, you know, and that's it, period. End of story. Well, if you love us, wonderful. If you don't, it's still wonderful. We're going to love you anyway. All right, now that I just cleaned out the house, thank you, Jesus, for you still love me, Lord. It's been a very cool night, very unusual night. I don't know if I'm going to even talk to anybody else or not. I'm not sure what I'm going to do because it's almost 12 o'clock, and even though I have a few people with their hand up, I don't know if I want to talk about it anymore. So anyway, Jeff, any last words of Jambalaya?
Jambalaya, yeah, I think we covered it all. I think you said it best there at the end, Randy. Well, I wonder what Yuki has to say. I wonder if Yuki's getting revelations here tonight.
Say it again, please.
Oh, I was wondering if Yuki is getting any revelations here tonight.
Yeah. Go ahead. Open mic.
No, okay. I guess not.
There's a general prayer.
She's a general prayer. Okay, well, she's making jokes now.
Oh, that's it's about time. She lightened up. Not really. I'm just kidding. She lightens up. I'm just yeah. All right. Y'all, I know it's kind of different to end the show on that tonight. And I have, you know, callers with their hand up, of course. And, you know, we have people that are listening. Thank you for being a part of PGN. But I think we're going to end it tonight. I'm going to call it a night tonight. I'm still working all day long right now. Helping one of my family members with their house. There's a lot of little things going on, a lot of little things going on. And while I'm here, I'm helping them. So they have to pay somebody else to do it because they don't have the money right now, and it needs to be done desperately. So I'm still working all day long, and then come on the show and love to be with you guys. Love tonight has been amazing. Having Jennifer come on and talk about that, and then Jeff and you come on, and we just love it.
Oh, Yuki has one thing to say, she said.
saw yourself. Quiet your mind and your intuition will speak.
She said, quiet your mind and your inspiration will speak.
You mean right now?
And then I just got that word.
Okay.
Oh, I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she just got that word. She, that's what she said.
Say it again. Say it again, please.
Quiet your mind and your inspiration will speak.
All right. Really cool. All right, enter into that peace and that rest of the Lord and let the, yeah, because when you're trying to struggle and strive, you hear your own words. You hear everything gets mixed with anxiety and human reasoning. Yeah, so I like that. Enter into the rest of the Lord and he will speak to you. Cool. What a great word. All right, y'all. I know we got more callers, and I know I could go on more tonight, and I thank you for your guys, for your love for PGN and what you guys do, your prayers. Pray for me. I'm enjoying myself. I'm having fun. I haven't been with this family member in a while, and it's really been a very, very wonderful. But we are working a lot, and I'm loving the work. I'm actually having fun doing it. I haven't done it in a long time. And they're getting blessed, and I'm getting blessed. So I'm getting blessed. I'm not complaining at all. But anyway, so I think I am going to take it, call it a night tonight, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow night. Thank you for being with us. All right, Jeff and you, we'll talk to you guys later. Oh, they're already gone. Okay. They're already out of here. All right, y'all, I'm going to call it a night tonight, okay? Thank you so much, and we will pick up wherever we pick up tomorrow night. And thank you for being with us. Pray for me as I'm doing new things, you know, the last couple of weeks or however long it's been. And I never thought I'd be doing this during Thanksgiving and maybe in Christmas. But it is really, really, really good. One of the best things that's happened to me in a while, so I'm so thankful for it and to be a blessing. All right. Thank you, guys. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.